Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Basketball Africa League special coverage here on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi, and joining me in studio, I have three other formidable, absolutely remarkable analysts. We are bringing you live coverage of the Nile Conference in Cairo. I'm with Mike Hove.
Yes, sir.
And Omolemo Kale.
Yes, sir.
Not
yes, sir.
Kel. Let's get that clear. We are not doing any, you know what I'm saying? And joining us again is my brother, Paul Ofono, coming all the way from Silver Spring here in Maryland.
Thank you, sir.
Paul joined us last weekend. How you feeling, Paul?
Feeling good, man. I had a mid-good week and then a depressing wake up.
Depressing completion.
I got a wake-up call. Huh? Like,
Mike is not, but Paul is not having a good year so far. His Miami Heat were not doing so well, and his City Oilers are not doing so well either. The City Oilers just lost to the Libyan side by over 30 points, a blowout win for the Libyans. My guy Achille, who's from South Sudan, playing for the Libyans, a debutant team. Broke the record, the scoring record for the Basketball Africa League with, I think, 42 or 43 points.
Absolutely.
In the win of the City Oilers. As we speak, we don't have yet confirmation, but I think the City Oilers might be wheels up on their way back to Kampala.
Oh, yeah, man. Come eat some matoki. Get some energy, man.
Get some matoki.
It's okay. It's okay.
And maybe that's the problem, eating a lot of matoki, because it is not a high-protein food. You need some protein in there.
Some protein in there.
But also, we know that many of the players that are representing the Oilers are not the original City Oilers that play in the regular season, the team that actually keeps winning championships in Uganda locally. So, unfortunately, the City Oilers making their second comeback in this year's Basketball Africa League, which we're in the fourth season, Mike. City Oilers didn't do so well either last year. Maybe next year, 2025, if they're able to do it, to make it, you know, to win locally and come back to the BAL, they could do better. But, Mike, how are things looking on your end so far? You mean, we had, yesterday, we had some very interesting matchups.
Yeah. So yesterday, to pull up a couple of games that were played, of course, both teams got some game time. City Oilers played on the 26th. Lost to Bangui Sporting Club, 91-76. Al Ahly, the veteran team and the host of the Nile Conference, played against Al Ahly Libya on the 26th. Also, 87-76 to the veteran side. And of course, like you mentioned, Jacko, earlier on today, the City Oilers played 78 and they lost to Al Ahly Libya. The debutants are 110. Now, the game we're about to step into, which is going to be an exciting one. Al Ahly, the veteran team, the hosts of the Nile Conference, are going to be playing against Bangui, a sporting club, the Central Africans. Who is your take there, Jacko?
I'll say,
both teams are looking good.
Listen, both of them are not looking good. Also, Al Ahly lost to the City,
City Oilers. Exactly.
The irony of this.
It was by 1 point. So I'm really curious as to how that worked out. What happened? Was it a fluke? I'm curious.
That's a good point. Maybe they came in with a chip on their shoulders.
And they
didn't want to, you know, have complete blowouts of, you know, 3-0, 4-0. Because each team plays four games,
four
correct?
Games, right.
Right. So maybe this time around they came in thinking, you know, at least we want to go away with one win, which was interesting if they had brought that same energy today in Libya. I mean, playing against Libya, maybe they could have done better, but man, they lost by over, you know, almost 30 points, and that kind of sucks for them because now they're on their way back to Uganda. The end of a season for them. They won't be going to Kigali. El Ahly Egypt has already really qualified.
Of course. They're looking good. They're 3-1 for
them. Yeah, absolutely. They are going to Kigali for sure for the playoffs. So I think for them today, whether they win or lose, they're already gone. But for Bangui, this would mean quite a lot for them. Being a debutant team coming in and kind of exercising their muscles against the powerhouse that is El Ahly SC, that's the what they call it. Like, they refer to it, Al Ahly SC, that's the Egyptian side, a storied franchise. If Bangui is able to pull this off, that
big upset. Could,
yeah, absolutely. One that I think it will mean they're going to Kigali, but also will give them the confidence to play against other smaller teams or the other teams. I don't want to call them smaller teams, and hopefully try to go for the win. For the championship, Al Ahly Egypt is the defending champions as it stands.
The sad part about this is, of course, the City Oilers winning that one game against the veterans. I'm sure they were hoping to, at the very least, make it on a third place spot. But now it looks like Al Ahly, the veterans, are going through guaranteed. Now it's a question of who is taking second and third between Bangui Sporting Club and, of course, Al Ahly Libya. City Oilers, fourth place. There's no chance. Initially, it was that question of who the City Oilers could do
up.
between the third place. Yeah. That's what the Cape Town Tigers are waiting for. So now it looks like it's just bye-bye City Oilers.
Yeah, bye-bye City Oilers. Man, I feel bad for City Oilers because I kind of like that team. I know some of the people that are part of the management for that team, the manager, my boy Kwizera. We had him last year on the show, Muguli. I feel bad for that team. I know they work really hard during the, you know, the preseason. And you know, they come in with high hopes. Unfortunately, I feel part of the reason why they keep failing is that they bring in these journeymen later on, before they start playing the big, you know, the BAL. They bring in these players that have not been playing during this, you know, regular season, and there's no chemistry, know, and we've seen that. You know,
Road to Bal is not enough time to build chemistry within the team. It's only about a couple of weeks before the actual Basketball Africa League tournament. And so a lot of people are really curious. And I think that's one conversation that really is going to need to be zoned in Season 5 of the Basketball Africa League, is how important is it to have local teams that have been playing together in their local leagues in comparison to, I guess, relying on international exports. So that's going to be one chat that I'm looking forward to.
Also, the caliber of the international exports, really, again, like we said last week, these are people who have been around for a minute.
They're on their last feet.
For lack of a better term, absolutely. Some of the guys there were drafted in the NBA in 2012. By the way, your boy, Pierre Papi, he limped out of the game
again. Boy, Papi. Oh, man.
So, you know. Anyway, so for you guys who are just joining us, this is the Basketball Africa League special coverage. We are about to watch Bangui versus Al Ahly. We have some sound from Egypt, I believe.
Right, right.
All right, let's go to that.
Al Ahly, it's the biggest club in Africa. It's a club of the century in football. It's like one of the biggest like names in African sports, and it's a huge institution. It has over like 80, 90 million fans all over the world. So I mean, it's an honor and it's a privilege to be able to play for such a big name.
So last season we had a tough group in the Cairo Conference. We had a loss against Petro, last second offensive rebound, and I think that helped the team to like understand how hard it is to beat every opponent, and I think that prepared us for the Rwanda games.
And the winners of the 2023 Basketball Africa League are Al Ahly
victorious. The championship, and that was probably like the highlight of my career. It's a great achievement for us and for the club and for the country. And hopefully we can repeat that this year again, and we can defend our championship and win it again this year.
The BAL is, it's a tough league, competitive league. A lot of athletic guys. I had a lot of friends who played in this league, so I just know the competition is very high.
Being a defending champ, every opponent has an extra motivation to beat you. Same time, I think we have to forget about it and, you know, approach every single game with a motivation to win. Like I always say, if we win games regularly, we will end up fighting for and hopefully winning championships.
It's dope to be able to play in the Basketball Africa League, and I expect a lot of good competition, good crowds, and just a fun time.
I feel like the competition has gotten better overall in the tournament. The talent is growing every year, but we're going to be ready for that.
Those are some of the players of the Al Ahly Sporting Club, which is Al Ahly from Egypt. They'll be facing off against Bangui shortly. The Egyptian multi-sports club started their basketball operations in 1921.
You left out a very important thing. The defending champions of the Basketball Africa League. Put some respect
absolutely,
on their names,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely, I should. But also, I just wanted to point out how long they've been in the game since 1921. What were you doing in 1921?
Bro, I wasn't even a thought. In fact, I don't even think my parents were a thought.
But apparently not many members admired the sport of basketball at the beginning, and the club stopped it after a while before bringing it back to activity in 1927 with a new playground. In 1930, some of the club football players, because Al Ahly Soccer Club, SC, is a sporting franchise mm-hmm. that has all these different teams. Their team, Al Ahly Soccer Club, is one of the best on the continent. And now their basketball is also really
it's stepping up.
Yeah, I mean, they're the champions of BAL, really there's nobody else that can beat them as it stands right now.
And it's looking like they're hungry for a back-to-back, back-ele-back is what we call it in our language.
Yeah, back-ele-back.
Back-ele-back, it means back-to-back. This is really interesting to hear, of course, from Al Ahly, the veteran teams right there. You heard the players really highlighting how they're really looking to build on the legacy of the club. They want to, and more than anything, they're hungry for a back-to-back. Today, they're going to be playing against Bangui Sporting Club. So shortly, we're going to be hearing from Bangui themselves. They're the debutants, Jacko. And I'm really curious to hear what the debutants have to say, how hungry they are. That's something that we're really looking forward to having. So let's hear what some of the players from Bangui have to say about their ball campaign.
BAL really creates an environment where great players can showcase their talent and show the world that they can play like any other continent, if not better.
We know we are the better team, so play like it.
Central African Republic is a basketball country, and we have a lot to offer.
So you are hearing there from players from Bangui Sporting Club, the Central African debutants of the Basketball Africa League. Joining me in studio, of course, we have Paul. He was with us last week. City Oilers supporters, I'm going to come to you shortly to hear more about your thoughts. And, of course, we have Omolemo Kale. Omolemo, you had an interview last week that we played with Lebesa Selepe. Congratulations on that get, man.
Thank you so much. That's actually a relative of mine, so it was really great to have him on.
Well, you got good blood in your genes, clearly, man.
Yes, indeed.
But, Paul, let me come to you, man. I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on the City Oilers campaign. They shocked everybody, took on the veterans, defeated them, but somehow failed to occupy that third place that they were hoping for. What were your thoughts as you were watching that?
I mean, it was a great game, you know, a good cohesion. Malwatch, I mean, he just came out and was a beast, you know. And, you know, I think they should build from that and you know, take some time off from the loss that came, you know, that came out here today
against Libya. Yeah,
yeah, and see how they can, you know, start rebuilding. Yeah. You know?
Last week, when Jackson and I covered the game on Monday, one thing we did highlight was the importance of having local grown players.
Yeah.
Because right now on the team, so far, only one Ugandan is part of the City Oilers.
Exactly.
How important is it to have that local-based team that can play together, not just only in the local league or the regional league, but the Basketball Africa League?
It's very important. I mean, you know, local talent is what builds, you know, most local teams, you know, to me. And you know, that's how you get more players too, because you're giving, you know, as to say, an audience, you know, to the local basketball players, and bring them into BAL, you know, will give them some good experience. I just don't see any cohesion when, you know, somebody just comes into the team, you know, for a few weeks. You know, I mean, you look at the Al Ahly's, you know, how they all are, you know, together. You know, they're working hard together for years.
Especially the Egyptians.
So when somebody new comes into the team, they better fall under the culture. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they have is a winning culture. Mm-hmm. I think the City Oilers have a lot to do. And they have to learn from these other bigger teams that, you know, that come into town and teach them how to do it.
Jackson?
Absolutely. So El Ahly head coach Ivan Jeremac, I think he's Serbian. He, I think, must be happy right now because I believe with their win against the City Oilers, they have they're going to Kigali as it is. They basically concluded their 2024 Nile Conference, beating the City Oilers by over 30 points in their second encounter. Remember the first one they had beat the City Oilers. The second time they're beating the City Oilers. The first time was 79-68. This time around it was I think it was about 110-78. So and then after that they went on to lose to El Ahly, the game that we commented on commentated on last Saturday, where they lost to El Ahly Egypt, which was quite interesting because then if you are like, you know, on behind the microphone like ourselves, you're talking about El Ahly, you have to specify which El Ahly. and I'm sure there are some people who are listening in right now from Cairo and go like, it's not El Ahly, it's El Ahly. So that I think that number two, that's talking about the Libyan side, is number two. They are going to take on against the Bangui Sporting Club, which won 3 and lost 2. They beat the City Oilers, and their goal right now is to extend their season beyond today and make it to Kigali. Joluwal Akil is one of the few players to average double-doubles after 5 games in the Nile Conference. And today he broke that record, the shooting record, with about 43 points or 42 points, which is something that, you know, for somebody who's just making his debut in the BAL, breaking this kind of record, I think that gives them a lot of confidence that, you know, they're going to face some of the veterans of the BAL. Remember, this is the fourth season of the Basketball Africa League. And you know, the first three, Mike, I don't know where time goes, bro. Like,
it flies, bro. It flies. It feels like just yesterday we were talking about season one of Basketball Africa League.
Season two, season three, and we're four. My goodness.
What's going to be interesting for me is what it's going to look like, because today, if Bangui make it, they're likely in the very, very good spot to make it to Kigali in that third base place. I'm really curious to see how that impacts other conferences, right? Because once again, to go back to Cape Town Tigers, and this is what we're going to bring you in with the conversation with Lebesa. Cape Town Tigers won only one game in their conference, but they're really, fingers crossed, that, you know, other third place teams don't really look good. And right now, if Bangui make it, they're of course edging out the Cape Town Tigers because they have more wins under their belt. Omolemo, I'm really curious to hear more about your conversation with Lebesa. Of course, he's a Cape Town Tigers player. This is his second season. What was he saying about that, their hopes and their aspirations of making it to Kigali?
Well, firstly, I would like to give a little bit of an update about Lebesa Selepe, the basketball player, first. Yesterday on his Instagram, he had put out a post that made a mention of his leaving the Cape Town Tigers.
Oh, man.
Now,
breaking news.
Well, yes.
For us, at least. For me, too,
you know. But, you know, Lebesa, in our conversation first, he was speaking about future players that are looking to come in into the Cape Town Tigers, but also about what the culture of the Cape Town Tigers is all about, and about not looking at the season that they had this year as something to bring them down and to make them lose any kind of momentum that they probably did have, but to more look a little bit forward into what's it to come in the future, but also to really embrace the methods and everything that they have been getting coached by, and, you know, not giving up on what the method is all about for Cape Town Tigers.
Now, I'm really curious how that impacts Jacko. Of course, to take from that conversation that Omolemo had, one thing that, and we've seen this over the years, when ball teams make it towards to Kigali, some players don't want to make it back. So, for example, if we look at the Cape Town Tigers, they've got Billy Preston, who's playing, doing his thing out in Asia. He might might not come back, and he was a very pivotal thing, which means that they might be able to pick up one or two couple of other players that might not make it to Kigali.
Hopefully. But at this point, we don't know whether they're going to make it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be a toss-up, I'm quite sure, today. Because Bangui's hungry. Because if Bangui wins this, they'll put them on number third. The third. And at that point, because
they're comfortable because they've got two victories.
Right. The rules, the BAL regulations, the teams that finish in the top two places of each conference qualify to the playoffs, while the best two third-place teams from across the three conferences will compete for the eighth team playoffs in the lineup. So we are not sure whether, you know,
what it looks like.
The Tigers are going to make it. Over Bangui. Bangui's record right now looks way better than the Tigers.
Right.
So we might even have to cross out the maybe something Lebese red in the water.
And he said,
like, you know, I need to be jumping. This is the thing we've seen, you know, people jumping ship.
Right, from one team to the other.
I understand how relaxed the regulations are right now with the NBA saying, you know, this is a new league that is just starting out. And so let's kind of, you know, play it as we go and, you know, be relaxed about some of the rules of the players, how many each country can have, foreign players they can have. But it will be a point where they'll start closing in now where they say, each team should because have at least a majority of local players coming from local leagues.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just to add on to what you were saying about, like, at least the local players and about staying into your selected team, Celebe on his Instagram said this, and I quote, "No matter how good you are, if you stay too long, you spoil it.
Yeah.
A good dancer must know when to leave the stage." And in that comment, he then put underneath that one comment, he said, "Thank you to the Cape Town Tigers for the memories and the ride of a lifetime. Got the opportunity to play basketball at the highest level on this continent as a Tiger, and I'm forever grateful for that."
And does he say where he's going next?
He did not make a mention of where he's going next, but I think he will.
Where do you speculate he'll be going?
I don't even want to speculate on these kinds of things, but I do think he will have a grand grand message, because he kind of had something of like a grand message leaving. So I do think, almost like in the NBA drafts, you know, they'll have their little ceremonious, which hat they're going to choose, which hat they're going to put on and make an announcement.
Right.
So yeah, I think
so
we should look
out. So maybe on his Instagram, he'll update you guys. But I'm saying, like, best on his record this year, this was his second time playing in the BAL, right? Do you think that he has what it takes to be picked up by, like, top-tier teams like El Ahly, Egypt, or Libya? I'm sure Libya is also coming into the, in terms of finances, also, you have to look at some of the resources these teams have. You know what I'm saying? The City Oilers don't have the same resources, I'm talking about cash-wise, as Egypt. Or even Libya, even though Libya as a country has been in war for so many years, we know they have a lot of some of that oil money, you know, so they're able to attract talent, like top-tier talent. So it's celebrate the kind of talent that would be appeal to coach Francis. No, this is a different coach, but the coach, the Serbian coach I was talking about of Libya, is he the kind of guy that will be courted by these bigger teams?
Well, you might be asking the wrong person, because I am related to Lebese Celebe. I might be biased.
You might be
in the answer, but I do want to be
Let the numbers speak for themselves.
Right.
Indeed. But also, I also want to be able to at least point out that Puma had made him, endorsed him. So he and another player were one of the only players. Yes, indeed. Were one of the only players to be endorsed by Puma. So if my opinion doesn't matter, I'm sure you can at least take into consideration that Puma decided to incorporate him, not just maybe for who he is or how he looks, but for the talent and the attraction he brings
absolutely
to the team.
That says something. Puma does not. These organizations or institutions like Nike, Puma will not just sign you for your looks. You know, they go for the talent.
For the talent.
It's not a beauty pageant. but Mike, what do you think about you know I mean, we're now dealing with breaking news. Omo Lemo has just put on Taleb leaving the Cape Town Tigers. I know that is making part of our conversation. I'm now curious, like what his next moves
are, right?
Like,
In terms of him being picked up, I think him and, of course, like we highlighted, there's also Nkosinathi Sibanyoni. Both of them were really, really pivotal towards the campaign of the Cape Town Tigers. They played really well. As we mentioned, they quote-unquote bow veterans, considering that they played in at least two of the four seasons that the Tigers have been a part of. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is picked up in another round, because like we highlighted, as teams make it towards Kigali, some lose players because their players have different commitments. And so you want to pick up, because of how relaxed the ball rules are, you want to be able to pick up the best of the best. And so I won't be shocked if I see, for example, Nkosinathi Sibanyoni, or if Lepesa still chooses to play in a different jersey in Kigali.
Basketball Africa League special coverage here on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. That was Mike Hovey. He's joining me again here in studio. Yes, we also have Omolemo Kale.
Yes,
Omolemo Kale. We're going to teach you how to say that name correct, Omolemo. And Paul Ofuono.
What's happening?
So, Paul, your guys, the Oilers, you know, again, about to head back to Kampala, Uganda. What do you think they need to do if they're to return next year and not get swept again?
I mean, we just had, you know, one of the greats retiring, you know, from the Cape Town Tigers. I mean, I'll call him in for camp. You know, give me that veteran experience and give us a speech or something. You know, get these young kids moving, you know. I mean, yeah, we can't afford him, but I think we can get him for a month. You know, we got the money for a month, I think.
He's like, we can do a short-term loan.
Just get some, you know, get some knowledge and, you know, see how things are done, you know. Yeah. You know, but it's great, and I hope, you know, the Cape Town Tigers find somebody else to, you know, bring back that veteran leadership, you know, that he brought to them, you know. So, you know, anybody who picks him up is going to have a good advantage, because he will definitely know how to fit in. You know, he's been around, you know. But you know, yeah, that's what if I was the Oilers. I mean, I look at guys who are, you know, have some time now, you know, and you know, maybe if he doesn't go in Tubal, nobody picks him up, and he's maybe got some other business things going on. You know, see who we can bring in, and
I'm sure he's sticking around. I'm sure he's moving to another team for sure.
He has to be with all that experience.
Yes.
I would.
I'm talking in terms of the team reorganizing, not just around these, you know, foreign players they are going to acquire. But what about developing the local talent and next year thing? You know, saying maybe we should try out these young guys who are winning local leagues in Kampala.
But like you said, I mean, we need those rules to be stamped on the table.
Yeah,
you know, if the NBA. You know, Baal, you know, if they come down and say, okay, hey, you know, this is what... I mean, that's what Baal should be, is to develop the young talent. That,
right.
You know, that we have back home. You know, if people are coming and taking half of that time, you know, how are we going to, you know, get the league to where it's supposed to be?
Right. We're watching some shoot-arounds or people, you know, players from Bangui. We're about to be tipping off and we'll take you to Cairo live. We'll stay here
Any
in
predictions?
Studio. Yeah, that's a good question. What are your predictions?
Oh, man. Look, however this goes, I would love to see Bangui winning this. I think this would be a great statement for them, taking on the Al Ahly Egypt and winning that. That would put them really, really confidently in Kigali. And I'm sure as they head into Rwanda, they'll be looking good. But, man, the veterans, man, they're telling a different story.
Are you talking about the defending champions?
Yes, sir.
Well, you keep calling them the veterans.
They are veterans. They played in three balls.
I'm going with Bangui in this one.
Oh, the veterans of the league.
They're three balls. They played.
Paul has Bangui.
Yeah.
I have El Ahly for sure. I don't think they want to lose the second game. They have only lost twice so far in the eight games they have played in that stadium last year and this year. So I don't think they want to go 9-3. They're now 8-2. For them, this is about making, you know, putting down their foot and putting a stamp on this league and say, we own this. We are the defending champions and we are at home. Exactly.
Yeah.
We see some, you know, a couple of people in the stands. Stadium maybe trying to fill up, but again, when you're playing against you know, at home, You have the home court advantage. That means you have your fan base already there to cheer you on. Bangui is also going to come in here because they want to make a statement. They're saying we're debutants in this league, but does not mean we are going to be the last.
Dynamite's coming small packages.
Absolutely.
Brother.
Yeah. And the game is about to start as we're looking at right now. We have a little countdown clock showing some images of video of players from the Basketball Africa League, an offshoot of the NBA that is playing its fourth season. End of the Nile conference.
This is it.
We concluded today. Monday, Mike and I will be in studio for our podcast, Nothing But Net. So remember to tune in. Our podcast is basically on the NBA.
That is correct.
website. The BAL NBA website. So check it out. Paul will probably not be able to join us, but we're hoping that we could get a former City Oilers, Philip Luzzi, our friend
Mr.
who was last year with us, probably joining us this year. We're also joined by Omo Lemo Kale, our intern from South Africa. Locally, he's based here in DC. Omo Lemo is the guy who, you know, you heard his interview with Lebese Seleve of the Cape Town Tigers last week. So, you know, at least today you're going to put a name to a name, not to an image, because you can't see him. But Omo Lemo, thank you so much for joining us today. What are your predictions?
Well, my predictions today will be for the team Al Ahly Sporting Club. I believe that one individual player will most likely make a really big contribution to his team. That will be Ahab Amin, the 6'4", 200-pound hybrid point guard, shooting guard. He has a pretty decorated career, but I mean, as far as like the roots come, I think him playing in the for at least for college, Oregon University, Texas A&M. I believe he will be somebody that will make a very tremendous impact onto the team today.
Absolutely. Ihab, I mean, one of the veterans, so to say, of that team. I believe this might be his final year in the BAL. I might be wrong, because we've seen some older guys in their 40s, like in late 30s, 40s, playing in this BAL. We're now chatting with Augustin Gilbert Bosch, the coach of El Ahly. Let's go to Cairo.
Most of the players, they had to do a big effort to win yesterday game. So probably we'll see, and maybe we'll see some more rotations in our team.
Important for you to close out this conference with a win, especially in front of your home crowd.
Yeah. Honestly, we face every game with the will and desire to win it. And this game is going to be the same. And at the same time, it will give us the confirmation of the first position in the group, which is also important regarding the ranks for the elimination games in Rwanda. So being qualified is good, but we also want to finish in the top position.
Thank you so much, Coach.
Thank you.
Front court pair of Ihab Amin and Mark Lyons, and then the backcourt pair of Ihab Amin and Mark Lyons, in the front court, Mitchell leading the team in minutes, and then Omar Arabi off his double-double performance, going to try and provide some big presence in the paint. He's a problem to cover, and this is the El Ahly's version of going big.
Let's see Bangui and hear from their coach, Coach Inyenge. What kind of physical state are your players in? After five big games, it's normal that there's a few issues. Yeah, two players with big injuries, and a few players difficult to recover. So it doesn't change our objectives, which is trying to qualify for Kigali. What are the ingredients you need to put in to this game to win? Yeah, everybody's played the same number of games. We need to lean on our mental force. We want to improve. We've showed great resilience so far and got some good wins. We've studied the opponents and we know that they're the champions. And, you know, they've played the same number of games as us, so they're physically hit as well. So we want to book our ticket and maybe our first position. Well, there's the starting five there.
That was Bangi Sports Club head coach Francoise Enyengwe. Let's go back to Cairo.
Jim Rabai, Captain Fantastic. Kerry Darlan shores up the front court, and what he's going to do on the floor is going to be important for this Bangi Sporting Club.
No, it is going to be very interesting to see how they fare against Al Ahly, of course. And as we take a look at the key players, Mitchell Jr., Veg Scheider, two players who came to the fore in their last games.
21 points and 64%. Veg Scheider, second start, and he's earning more and more minutes, more and more trust from Coach Enyenge. On the other side, Mitchell Jr. has the most minutes for Al Ahly, and he shows up in the paint with his scoring and ball distribution.
Tip-off time here, and it is, of course, the men in white, Bangi Sporting Club of the Central African Republic, in possession. Darlan. There he is, Terry Darlan, goes for three, high over the top, and picked up by that. And a good opportunity there once again. Weck. Orabi makes it safe for the back. Al Ahly in possession.
Always talk about the presence of a big man and shot changing. That's what Orabi did on those couple of possessions.
Lions. Well, he just didn't get the right pass to Prince Ali. Good defensive cover there. Rolly Fuller, such an important player in this Bangi team.
He is, and there was also really good awareness from Wakesider in the passing lane, getting a hand on.
Jim Rabai tries to deal with Orabi, unable to get the score. Rolly Fuller has it pinched by Eamon. Eamon's so quick, so fast. Lions is waiting for it at the back end of the court, but he's unable to get that pass over there.
He was just struggling to keep the handle on that one. A beautiful move to get by Darlan, and then just trying to keep control of the basketball. It just couldn't quite get his fingertips around it.
And there's the first score scored by that man, Mitchell Jr. And Al Ahly take the first points here on home court.
Great execution on that baseline out of bounds. Finds Mitchell Jr. an easy two.
Darlan goes for three. And Weck tries to keep it in play. Knocks it out. They will have possession here. Al Ahly.
Darlan is trying to find his rhythm from the outside. It's 30% he's been shooting it from the three-point line, and his 30 attempts he's made nine.
Bangi beat, losing 79-85 in the reverse battle between these two teams. Orabi does the business in the paint.
He is super efficient at close range and can really be a pivotal point in the offense.
Veg Scheider. Rolly Fuller. Well, that's a few missed shots now. They still haven't managed to get off the mark. And they'll want to try and turn that around. It's not the ideal start against a team like Al Ahly, defending champions. Orabi takes the high ball from Emin and then out wrestles everybody to dunk it big time. There you go. He's made his mark already.
Oh, big man doing big things. And that is Orabi with a statement dunk inside.
Veg Scheider. Darlan. Darlan trying to keep Eamon at bay. Jim Rabai goes attacking. Tries to loft it over the top. He doesn't have the soft touch direction. Orabi getting in his face. Oh, a little steal. Veg Scheider goes up. That's a put in by Weck.
Well, someone had to score eventually for Bangi. It's like there was a lid on the rim, and maybe now there'll be some relaxation as they finally get their first field goal.
It's always a little bit of a nervous start, isn't it? You know, when you come up against such a high-profile team.
And of course, Bangui are debutants in the BAL, whereas Al Ahly are the defending champions. As Amin, star player, played just over 30 minutes. First time that he broke into the 30-minute, broke the 30-minute barrier.
Coach Juve talking about using his players a little bit more in the in their last outing against Al Ahly Libya. He had to go deeper into his rotation to ensure the win. Looking at big shot is missed, but right there cleaning up Yang Wek on the putback. Yeah. Rabi, fantastic footwork for the finish.
Don't go near the colossal man when he's on fire and on a mission.
That's his version of a poster.
That is a poster. He's a Marvel comic hero as far as I'm concerned. Here he goes again. Well, he has there's a foul that's committed, and that is frustrating for Weck because he got caught up in front of Orabi. You can see this.
And maybe those are the difficult ones to call, but maybe a case there for Weck's frustration.
Well, he, you know, put himself into that cross position, you know, he was going down, but it was either going to be the graveyard position or he's going to get the call against the Rabi.
Well, maybe just falling a little bit too early, and then that is what triggers the blocking foul. But Rabi to the free throw line, 53% free throw shooter throughout conference competition, and it's an area that he needs to try and exploit a little bit more, because he does get a chance at the charity stripe quite often.
Scoring from Arabi, 7 points to two. Two fouls given up by Bangui in the first 3.5 minutes. Meg Scheider, Jim Rabai out wide. He's cut in on numerous occasions against Arabi. But Ronnie Fuller trying to get his three-pointer. Gets knocked out. They're going to get possession back, Bangui.
But this is a stark contrast to what we saw in the first fixture between these two teams. You remember Bangui were under control, composed, and they were getting the baskets to fall. But also, jump shots not falling could be a little bit of that wear and tear, and just signs of fatigue early.
Meg Scheider trying to get his shot coming off the glass and in. Doesn't fall. Made safe at the back by Mitchell Jr. and taken forward. Prince Ali out to Lyons. Lyons aim in. He's got support over to the left-hand side, but it's Prince Ali who goes on a little bit of a wonderful. Decides to go himself. Look at that. That is fantastic play, and he does cause a real stink in the paint there with Rolly Fuller committing a foul.
Now a quick turn gets the defense of Darlan on his back, and you just see him get by, try to tap away, and it elevates straight into Fuller. Commits the foul.
But just look at the way where he came from. I mean, he went on a wild goose chase of his own, you know, causing all sorts of problems. He had a few followers at one point, you know, and making a status, and then he came around and all of a sudden he's going charging in and going up for the points and then gets the foul. It just goes to show they've got players who aren't fatigued despite the fact that they're coming into game six.
There'll be little signs. Fatigue is not visible. It's not a something that we can have a look at, but you will see just little signs. But as the players get into it, the muscles warm up. You'll see flowing offense, and that's a big make by Ali.
9-2. Bangui, Darlan. Oh, he's just unable to keep control of that. Mitchell Jr. gets it to a player in white. Meg Scheido goes up himself. That is very strong. That, well, Weck unable to deal with that, and they get possession back, Al Ahly.
There may be a need just for Coach Nyenge to have a timeout to just settle the nerves or just get his team a little bit more composed. They are rushing a little bit. That steal from Meshada, excellent, and that pushes the ball on the finish just a bit too strong.
Mitchell Jr. using Orabi as a big high screen. Eamon gets it back out. Mitchell Jr. safe at the back, taken by that man Nyang Wek. Darlan decides to go himself. Tapped in, Meg Scheider does really well. Now they got a few more seconds to shoot. Darlan's three-pointer. That's very scrappy, isn't it?
They are now like 10% from the field. They just can't buy a bucket at any stage in this early going.
Lyons. Oh, sumptuous drive through by Lyons. Delicate touch.
And in contrast, on the other end, it's just all systems go for Al Ahly, who are perfect on the inside. 4-4 now on the interior.
Big Shida. Jim Rabai, he's got his time, he can get his range, he gets his range, and that's a fine score indeed. He gets 2 points from there.
Finally unlocks a field goal from open play.
Someone found the skeleton key. Drive through, Prince Ali. Eamon goes up, Eamon. He loves that kind of score, doesn't he? Right in front of his home crowd. Big three.
Fantastic from the three-point line. He has been shooting it at 44%. Here you go. Another one from Eamon, and that's how you bring it into the timeout. And Lion with the line drives. The Lion roars, picking up two.
Big play. 14-4, Al Ahly of Egypt, 10-point lead. We'll take a small break.
Basketball Africa League, it's 14-4, Egypt, 4-4, Bangui. I don't even know where to start with this one. But who was making predictions, guys? I mean, is it early to make predictions?
I said Al Ahly.
Yeah, okay.
What I said, let's Bangui. Make that very clear. You said Bangui.
So how are you feeling about Bangui right now? I mean, it's early in the game, but they're down by 10 points.
They need to settle down.
I mean, come on now. give us something more. You think they're reading the situation? You know.
But I always say this, Jackson. You see, when you're class, you know composure.
Yeah.
Right. You know how to take your time. I didn't. I actually are definitely class. They know how to. They don't need to rush into this. I'm sure they knew that, hey, listen, this is the last game. We want to go into Kigali looking good.
But make a statement with this.
That's not to rule out Bangui, of course. Once again, Bangui are debutants. Not a lot of game time on this. They've only played, what, 4, 5, 6 games. So I'm not really surprised in this outcome. But I will once again say Bangui, at that, regardless of the outcome today, will be headed towards Kigali looking good.
I mean, let's not count them out. It's just the beginning, it's early in the game, so maybe they can find their feet at some point. But it's 4 minutes mm-hmm. and 16 seconds left in the first quarter. The first quarter. Bangui Sports Club, Bangui Basketball Club is 4 points. El Ahly is 14 points. Let's go back to Cairo.
Goes under and up, but he doesn't get the points. Quick, fast start as they come out of the timeout. Arabi has the ball taken out of his hands, but Ali picks it up. Prince Ali out wide. Mitchell Jr.
A definite play to try and top up the tempo out of the timeout, and almost gets a bucket for Bangui.
Got to go for a shot. Oh! Bring it on. The Lions are charging.
That is a teardrop from Lions as it drops in and brings a couple of tears to Bangui on the floor.
Oh, look at that. Jim Rabai putting in a big three as well. I'm matching him in a big style.
Yeah, they needed a score, and Captain Jim Rabai ready to answer the call.
Mitchell Jr. Arabi, of course he's going to get it. The second attempted tip. And the ball goes out, but the last touch was coming from Weck.
Stays with Al Ahly.
17-7. Bangui, of course, with 3 wins. Out of their 5, Ali goes up. Oh, that is monstrous from Ali.
They shoot the ball just so fluently. That's their 3rd make from 3-point land.
A monster 3. Dahlan checks, gets it out to Jim Rabai, gets rid of Arabi. That is beautiful play. That's the kind of basketball that we've seen them play, Bangui, before.
Now playing a kind of point forward is Jim Rabai, and it's importantly finding the right passes and right touches.
I'm in. 3. Arabi. Jim Rabai's there. Oh, that's really well stolen, isn't it? Fantastic play from Dahlan. Dahlan spinning as well, the full business, but he loses possession. Lions taking it. Mitchell Jr. Little touch. thrown out to Lions. Oh! Bucket magic from Lions. It knocks down a three.
The sniper scope is focused and locked in. And another one for Lions.
14-point lead, that is. He's up to eight. 4 of 7. Jim Rabai goes high over Orabi. Darlan, good strength from Darlan, but he's losing possession. He's doing the hard work, and then he's losing the ball afterwards.
I always feel that it's forcing it just a little bit at this point.
Orabi takes the pass from him, and how about that? This is a very strong statement from Al Ahly. This is the Al Ahly we saw last season.
You've got to start well against the home team, and a drop-off from Eamon right around the body of Fuller. Orabi right there to pick up the two, and Lions, man, is he focused and just fluent on the offensive end.
25-9, 8 points for Lions. Look at that, he's missed 100% at the moment.
Perfect from the field, and going to be given a break now as Coach Rube goes into his rotations and did hint at the start in the interview that he's going to go a little bit deeper today and perhaps try and utilize more of his roster.
Well, it's 26-9 Kedju coming on for Arabi. Patrick Gardner.
The only man staying on the floor is Ahly for continuity in terms of how coach will be running his rotations.
We just saw Ngaife about to come on, but he's been told to just wait a moment. We saw how impressive he was in the last outing for Bangi.
Impressive he was. 22 points in Ngaife off the bench and going to try to provide that kind of spark here for his sporting club. He needs to.
High off the glass, foul committed, and as the charge down that right side.
They can't be faulted for aggression, Van Bangi Sporting Club. Wexler has been aggressive. That's the third time we've seen him attack the paint. This time he draws the foul from Gardner. He's also been aggressive on the defensive end. Their finishing has been lackluster throughout this first quarter.
First foul going against Al Ahly. So far, it's been all about them and what they've managed to do so far. That 26-point tally in the, you know, as we enter the last minute and 15 of this first quarter, has been really difficult to digest for Bangi.
Just executing at a high level, and Darlan frustrating. He was 0 of 7 from the field. They get a chance to just breathe and think about what was happening on the floor. And a chance to just make some adjustments, personal adjustments, and a great adjustment being made there by Vekshad Asizim. Make that free throw.
And to double figures finally, as Gizawi comes on. Gizawi's got zip about him. Out to El Gendi for three off the rim. He gets the rebound, of course he does. That soft palm that he has, I mean, you know, that's worth this weight in gold.
It's the anticipation off the tap, and just gets into the right place for that easy two.
That's great score, that is, for Wegscheider.
Does exceptionally well to keep his balance. Trying to attack the paint, he gets tapped. And just have a look, they clash his feet with Al-Ghazawi, and he is still able to compose himself, keep his balance, and get the score.
Gardner with a rebound. Prince Ali. Gendi. Prince Ali for three. Wegscheider picks it up at the back. Straight down and has been knocked out of bounds by El Ghazawi ahead of Nambai.
Again, great anticipation by Ghazawi. Understands the lob pass and its path, and he gets into the passing lane, taps it out.
Nambai. Wegscheider. Nicely done. Doesn't get his range. Kedju at the back. Ghazawi. Swiftly moving up into position. Not afraid to shuffle their feet and get themselves quickly up into enemy territory. The shot clock down, 5 seconds, and they're giving it away. Veg Scheider, Gizawi gives it away. That's a good steal.
That aggression on defense again from Veg Scheider picks up another steal, and he gets an important score for Bangi to close out the quarter.
13 points, the difference, but just look at that. Getting Gizawi's face, steal the ball, dropping to say, I'm here. There's your layup, there's your score. Snake hands, I love it. 28-15, we'll take a break and we'll be back in a moment.
28-15, Bangi trying to crawl their way back at the end of the quarter. It's been a tough quarter for them, but as you can see there, you know, some of these guys are trying to put in a fight, that making that steal at the end before the whistle blew. 28-15, El Ahly trying to make a statement before, I mean, they already made it to the playoffs in Kigali, but they're not about to lose out to a debutant team.
Listen, you can't say that and then when they lost to City Oilers. Let's not do that.
But this, the way things are looking right now, you know, the end of the Nile Conference, which is today, might give us two blowout wins for both El Ahly teams. El Ahly Libya just blew out Uganda City Oilers by 30 points. Mm-hmm. And the way things are looking out right now, and it's really, it's just the end of the first quarter in Cairo, but El Ahly with 28 points, 15 for, that's about 13 points ahead. It's, I mean, we don't want to count out Bangi yet, but the kind of energy with, and the, you know, the rotation with which the coach is just bringing in different players at some point. I think he's just tapping into his bench at this point. He know he's confident they're going to win this. Mm-hmm. He just want to give playing time to, you know, his bench players.
But that rotation is important, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
That rotation is important. Once again, I keep saying this is what shows the difference between
the depth.
You know, when you have that depth on your side, you have the luxury of being able to say, hey, listen, and already bear in mind, they know that they've made it to Kigali already. Mm-hmm. Why not give more people some playing time?
Absolutely.
Give them that confidence.
They took out, the coach took out Mark Steven Lyons, who's the
leading point scorer,
by 8 points, and he rotated him again. He took out Orabi too. It's showing that we know we have this in the bag. Yeah. Let's just give our boys a chance to shine on this platform on this day today, because we know we got this. All right, let's go back to Cairo, guys.
Shot that doesn't find its destination. Picked up Nambai. Gaffe. Rolly Fuller. He's going to go for a shot. Gets a long-range shot going in. Kedju with the rebound. Picks it up for Al Ahly. Oh, they've nearly lost possession. There's a scramble.
Well, they're going to keep trying to force the hustle points to see if they can't buy a couple of quick scores just to make some inroads. This lead is building up to be significant for Al Ahly, and that ball just goes to ground. Kedju loses his concentration for a second.
Veg Scheider getting rid of Gizawi. Veg Scheider back out to Jim Rabai. Jim Rabai for three. Oh, is it going to go? Not yet, but it will, maybe. No. You got Faye unable to get the rebound.
Well, nothing going their way. Not even the bounces at this stage for Bangi on the offensive side.
El Gendi. Oh, that's nicely done. That lovely little short pass into the basket for Kedju to rise up and score.
Masterful work from El Gendi. Lots of guile.
Yeah, he's just got over the line. Veg Scheider's got a great skills, good acceleration. Got to just keep an eye on where he goes, but he also needs support from his teammates.
Very athletic, stealthy even, with all of the speed that he has on the floor. It's that deceptive turn of speed that allows him to pick up some of the steals that we've seen on the defensive end.
Gizawi. Gardner. El Gendi. Plenty of movement. And then it's swung out wide, and there it is. That is Gizawi for a nice three.
As soon as he sets his feet, he's shown that he is very confident from the three-point line. Beautiful shot making from Young Gezawi.
19 years of age. Ngaifi coming up to against Gardner. A little bit too hard off the glass. Gezawi, 18-point lead. El Gendi goes high. Keju. Ngaifi just getting caught up there.
Being a kind of allowed to roam freely inside. We're not seeing too much evidence of a box out inside the paint. And there's Keju. When he roams free, it's anybody's ball. And then big body Keju can battle with the best of them.
He's got wingspan, but he's also got broad shoulders.
And he's got a deceptive vertical.
Mohabe coming on. Mohabe behind Keju, blocking out the lights. And that goes up. They're going to have possession back. Coach Jules loves the fighting spirit amongst these Alali players.
And Bungie have shown us fighting character throughout the conference. They just can't find any sort of flow offensively at this point.
El Gendi. Well, Mohabe, he finds a little bit of space, a little gap, and then he just rams himself into the boulevard, and it all opens up perfectly for him.
And that's the playmaking of El Gendi, the awareness to find Mohabe for the finish.
Well, he full his range from down that left side. El Gendi screaming for possession. Picked up, stolen. Oh, he's... Rolly Fuller has it pinched back out of his hands, a double steal. Gardner for three. Oh my, that is magical.
6 3-pointer for Al Ali as they fully firing on all cylinders on the offensive end. 38 points they've been able to compile, and there's still 7 minutes left in this second quarter.
That is prolific offensive basketball from Al Ali. Stretch their lead, and they're in fine control at the moment. 23-point lead. We'll take a break.
Basketball Africa League special coverage on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganye. It's 38 for Egypt El Ali and Bangui 15. Mike,
have faith.
Yeah,
have faith.
Second quarter.
Gentlemen, right, the more you keep saying have faith, the more this gap opens. What's going on?
But I'm impressed. I mean,
impressed with the El Ali or with
El Ali? El Ali, okay. Egypt. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You see that he brought the starters in, and they just set the tone.
Yeah.
You know, the big man came and got physical and set the tone for everybody. And what impresses me is that while, you know, the second team squad is on, you know, the first team squad is cheering, like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's incredible. The momentum
is on their side right now. El Ali looks like it's definitely going to cost to a win, and unless something, you know, major happens, because this guy can decide, El Ali coach can decide to play the bench at this point going forward, and they would still
win. He is playing the bench.
He is playing the bench.
Let's make that very clear.
The bench is just doing its job.
38-15, we are coming to you live on the Voice of America. My name is Jackson Bunganyi. I'm here with Mike Hove, Paul Ofono, and Omolemo Kale. It is the end of the Nile Conference today. The game that preceded this one was Libya's El Ali sweeping or beating or whatever you want to call it, annihilating Uganda City Oilers. But let's go back to Cairo to watch this game.
This Bangui team coming out of that timeout. They've got some stuff to work on, Kim, basically.
He is a defensively minded coach. We've seen what he's been able to put together in terms of defense, and now he needs to index on that, because Al Ahly just scoring freely, and those 38 points in just 13 minutes, just, it's a lot of scoring.
That's a lot of damage. 12 bench points. I mean, we get used to the bench points scored by Al Ahly from the rotation from Colts Chulbe. Here's Oveg Scheider, a little spin, tries to get a shot. Guy Fay getting caught up with Gardner.
Even the 50-50 calls, they go the way of the home team, and they need to find a way to just shift momentum for a little bit, a significant scoring run, and it all starts on the defensive end.
It's a second foul for Ngefi. Izawi.
And a call goes the other way as Gardner picks up the offensive foul on the illegal screen. Second foul on Gardner.
Dolan tries to go around Gendy. Jim Rabai tries to hook it over the top.
He's been the one player alongside Vic Shadow who's been effective every time he gets a touch, or at least shown some level of effectiveness here. Gets by the two defenders. He goes with his offhand. Doesn't get the roll, but does get a chance to go to the free throw line.
Kedju picking up his first foul. Have to get that confidence, you know. They bangy when they do pass the ball around, they look like the real deal. Their last outing, you know, was a fine example of how they can play. And notching up their third win in five was definitely something, you know, very, very special.
Very special indeed. Both free throws there for Jim Rabai. Maybe might be the spark that Bungie are looking for.
Gizawi. Hilgendi in possession. He's they're going to get possession back just down on the sideline, deep in enemy territory. Elgendi opens things up, and then he does use that floater over the top. Kedju picks it up, back out. Gizawi goes himself, trying to use the glass. Jim Rabai, defensively solid, and Veg Shido's at the other end. That is in. That is a dunk. That's potentially something that will just trigger a comeback.
A dunk can trigger momentum. What a fantastic speed up the floor and showcasing every single bit of his athletic ability.
And it comes from those two guys you just mentioned, Q, as well. You know, it's all about Jim Rabai and Veg Scheider. Gardner ghosts in down the baseline. Nice soft touch there.
Versatility with his left hand. That'll just settle up the offense again for Al Ahly. They've got to go off the boil at some point, you have to believe.
Darlan for three. Oh, it's gets stuck just behind the ring and finally goes out of play, but it's Al Ahly who pick up possession. Needed to get those points. They need to knock it down below the 20 and then chip away.
And you look at this touchdown pass from Jim Rabai. Breksider explodes up top.
There you go, shotgun pass. Boom. Followed up by a beautiful score from that man, Breksider. Underlining his agility and his ability to score in all different ways, which is great to see.
22 years young is Veg Scheider. New Mexico University, USU Houston, in the NCAA. They'll take a bit of a breather after being the go-to guy. 8 points as he heads to the bench.
Kalienge coming on. Elgendi around the outside. Out to Gardner. Gardner's shooting. It's a miss for him. Kamayenge. Lally already in position defensively. Here he goes, Kamayenge. Has been flapped back, but it's up towards Kedju. Kedju! Nice touch from Kedju.
Touchdown on the other side as Kedju can catch and finish on the distribution and the pass from Gendy.
That's a great score, isn't it, from Thierry Dalan. Finally gets himself an important score. His first points tonight.
First field goal, that's one of nine. Might settle him down a little bit on the offensive end.
That's a very good piece of play. It was flung fiercely towards the screen, but it was picked up there by Gendy, who does a beautiful job.
A little bit of luck as he throws it up. You can see it was an error, but it drops right into the path of Gendy for the finish.
I think it just underlines just how hard he is and strong he is, because he knew it was going to fly back out towards his face.
Well, I just overcooked it. And this is the combination of Keju and Gendy who've been good, and one playing provider, one playing finisher, and then the reverse on the previous play.
They're having fun out there tonight. Wait, Elgendy. Elgendy. Here he is. Goes again. Tries to make the pass to Keju, but Keju just had a little slip.
His legs get locked up with Darlan, and it's going to stay Al Ahly basketball.
Kizawi. Kendi. Saran goes up for a long-range shot. Kofi makes it safe, and Darlan will not calmly take the ball up into Al Ahly territory, but well, that's a long-range shot and a bit of contact, and it'll work in their favour.
Well, this is how you start to get and claw your way back into a lead like this, and they started on the defensive end. They managed to just slow down some scoring on the side of Al Ahly, but that's also because of the rotations that Coach Ube hasn't. And sometimes when you rotate and you bring in players, the job of the second unit to try and make sure that they maintain momentum from the first hasn't quite happened that way. But on the other side, when the other team is just missing and it just won't go for them, there are ways that you can take advantage of that.
Cavalry looking to come on it with Lyons, who's had a nice little break on the bench. Darlan goes up for a second. And he'll get a third chance to try and make it a 20-point lead with 3:40 left in the second.
76% free throw shooter throughout competition. He makes all three.
Nasser, wonderful pass. Sumptuous. That is absolutely brilliant. Moheib down in the corner.
We haven't seen Moheib for three games, and he's finally back on the floor, providing some much needed offense on the baseline.
Darlan. Jim Rabai, nicely done. Beautiful link up play between those two.
9 points for Jim Rabai.
Lyons drops it into the path of Keju. Keju, and he gets flung to the ground. There was definitely contact there, and a little shake of the head. He'll go up to the free throw line.
Darlan, the guilty party on this one. You look at the pass from Lyons perfectly into the path of Keju, and there it is. Darlan coming across on the help, but illegally so.
Second foul for Darlan. Even being rested. I think that, you know, when you've got a player who's coming back from a shoulder injury, you know, creeping into this Nile Conference each and every game, as we see Keju slam down that first shot there. But Eamon coming back from that shoulder injury and gradually building up minutes, got himself 30 minutes. But with this kind of a lead, you can literally leave him on the bench for a few extra minutes, you know, just that he recovers properly, and we don't overuse a player who needs to be pampered a little bit because of recovery.
But, you know, I'm pretty sure that I don't want to make a statement in this final game. You know, they are the defending champions and they are at home, so something to try and please the home crowd with.
Darlan for a three. Gets flicked back out. Here he is once again, the ever dangerous Lyons does lose possession. And getting in there, and Weck was getting caught up there. He seems to be okay.
This game is really, let's just drained of the play right now. Lyons comes in, just trying to get by the defense. You see how skillful he is in his control and handle.
Nasser. Lyons down into the corner. Keju's been called here.
The illegal screen. And he's really irate and unhappy with the call. And now a moment between Keju and Darla, and then this is definitely going to be something to keep an eye on here.
No, no, for sure. It's fired up, and Darlan will just like get straight back in there. Rolly Fuller, just look at that. Let's have a look at this again. And it's a technical foul, isn't it?
He picks up a tick now. Does Darlan? He's having conversation with the bench on the other side and Keju. And he picks up a technical foul. And so does the coach.
Here we go, Wegscheider. A little bit of drama, Q.
Lots of drama.
We've had plenty of that this week. Rolly Fuller. Travelling call, Jim Rabai. Frustration for Bangi.
Well, that third technical foul sees Darlan go to the bench. And what we may see is Al Ahly also just ramp up the intensity, because that exchange on the other side and Augusti Djoube picking up a technical foul as well.
Yeah, but they've got feisty players on the, you know, on the floor at the moment. Muhaib goes for an acceleration, and we're not going to keep that out. Great drive, great score there from Muhaib. But when you've got Keju on the, and you've got Saran, these players, you know, they'll get in your face, they'll make it really complicated for you.
Definitely. And then referees will keep an eye on the contact situations on the floor.
Here's Weck. Weck. There's Wegscheider, tries to get the shot in. And Nambai unable to keep it in play.
Ninth turnover, that will be for Bangi. Just a little bit of needle. And it does make it tense on the floor for players, coaches and the referees.
1:25 left on the clock for this second quarter. Ball comes out for a long range shot, and well, it's not going to happen. And again, more contact.
Off the ball contact, and that contact situation between Nyang Wek and Sawan.
There's another little tussle taking place. How many tussles have we got?
All of them. Every single matchup is a tussle at this point.
It definitely is. Go on, Saran. There you go. You can see the replay. The body check from Weck. He picks up his second.
Saran's been playing about 10 minutes a game for 6 points. 31-year-old power forward in Egypt.
Knocks it down perfectly. Both free throw shots. Well, just dropping it over the top. That is a fine score. Nambai doing the business.
Well, someone has got to give this team some offense. And nice take. And finally, they get a ball that rolls their way and just drops in.
And now it's Saran getting caught up once again with Nyang Wek.
The referees will keep a very close eye on this. We might even see replays start to come out, because, you know, what's happening off the ball threatens to turn a little bit unsportsmanlike, dirty, with the niggle and needle in it. You want to see competition, but you want to see fair competition, hard competition, and legal competition.
Wex on three personal fouls, and yeah, there's the attention's not exactly on the player with the ball, but
all the off the ball contact situation, wherever there's a screen or a matchup. A little bit of loud in the stadium, as you know, they try to feel exactly what's happening on the floor. Sarhan. Three or four. Last trip to the charity strike.
Yeah, good shooting from Sarhan. Oh, leg Scheider. And was there a foul by Lyons? I think there is. And that's foul number five. So to the free throw line he'll go. Lyons picking up his first foul.
Six assists in his first start. Rexider, and then 21-5-3. He's just continued to grow with confidence. Former BWB and MVP and NBA Cap Africa alumni. Born in the town of Bangui. Happy to be playing for a Bangui Sporting Club.
Yes, it's great. High ball going up and he gets a touch to it. Can he keep the ball in play? That's nicely done. Excellent play there by Rolly Fuller. Oleg Scheider just getting a fingertip. Read it wonderfully. He goes around the outside. What options has he got? Jim Rabai. Back to Oleg Scheider. Rolly Fuller wants it. But it's shot clock down to 8. Goes out to Rolly Fuller. 3-point shot. Oh, it's a put-in, and it's a beautiful one from Yang Wek.
Important one. Wek is locked in. Wek is trying to spark this team, whether it's with his physicality or with his scoring.
Lyons drops it in for Kedju. Now, is that Rolly Fuller who just gets in his way, or will it be Wek? Wek. If it's Wek, he's on four, and he is on four. That's not a good scenario. Just put himself in a position where he'll need to go off. And it's not even the end of the first half.
But he's going to force Coach Francois Nyenge to go and get Ngaife off the bench. We might even see him go a little bit more than his eight-man rotation if this fouling frequency continues.
Kedju off the glass. 6th point for him, as we see Wek replaced by Gaife, as you mentioned, Q. 53-32. It's still around about that 20-point barrier, but now they get possession back on this occasion. Bangui.
4 seconds left.
Was the good effort that was from Wek Scheider, but he doesn't get the points. Well, look at this. Alali 53, Bangui 32. It's a demonstration. It's a demolition. Can they clamber back, Bangui? Can they hit back? They've got to find answers.
They have to find answers. They really have struggled from the field. It has not only been defense. They just haven't been able to make shots.
We'll be back with the highlights coming soon.
And we're back. This is the Voice of America special coverage of the Basketball Africa League, the final game of the Nile Conference, a matchup between El Ahly of Egypt, the defending champions of the Basketball Africa League, playing against debutant Bangui Basketball Club. Right now, the way things are looking, Mike Hove.
It was correct. Say it. Come on.
I hate to say this, but he was indeed correct. It's halftime in Cairo, so we are bringing the action back here in studio. Joining me is Paul Ofuono, my friend and analyst here in the Washington, D.C. area. Our intern, Omolemo Kale. What's going on, Omolemo?
Hello,
yes,
hi.
Yes, I need more energy than that, brother.
We've jumped ship.
Yes. You're sounding like a Bangui player right now.
Oh, man.
And Mike
Hover.
Mike, yes, bring us the stats, my brother.
Man. So this is what's interesting about this game, right? We've got Al Ahly's Egypt, of course, the host of the Nile Conference, 53 points. Bangui, our sports club, 32 points. But the interesting part is the leading players for Al Ahly are not even on the court.
Second,
that, for me,
second to the bench.
It's really a huge...
a story that's being told without even looking at the stats, right? Because you've got Al Ahly's leading sports player, leading scorer right now is Mark Stephen Lyons, 8 points. But they've got 53 points. That means he's been posted up chilling for a huge chunk of the game, right? You've got your next one is Omar Tarak Orabi.
Yeah.
He's also got eight points, but he's been chilling.
Yeah.
Mustafa Mohamed Emeklawi, 6 points. So that for me tells a huge story regarding the depth that Al Ahly means. A, the team is actually playing as a team, right? They're not relying on one person. And then if we look at Bangui, of course, we've got Kirk Curry. He's got 10 points to his name. Jim Rabai, 9 points, and Thierry Darlon, he's got 5 points to his name. Three of those guys are all in the game, though, in the starting five, not so long ago as we lead it into halftime. Now, of course, total rebounds, we've got Ehab Amin Saleh, 5 rebounds. He's equal to Bangui's Nyang Wek. He's got 5 rebounds, too. For the, of course, we'll call them defending champions or the leading team right now in the Nile Conference, Al Ahly. The next rebound leading person is Mustafa Mohamed Emeklawi, 4 points. Sorry, 4 rebounds. And the last one is Patrick Gardner. He also has 4 rebounds. But once again, a lot of these players are all posted up on the bench right now.
Absolutely. Mm. And, you know, it says something that your top scorers, your first team, the coach rotated them out. They're already like dressed up right now. They're probably getting ready to go out. Because it is that bench that is putting up the fire right now, and they're leading by 21 points. Mm-hmm. You know, Paul, what is happening to Bangui? What do they need to close this gap right now? It's 32-53. And they're struggling in ways that I didn't think they would struggle this way.
I think Bangui just needs to, just keep, you know, keep crawling back, but it's going to be tough. You know, Al Ahly Egypt has set a tone. You know, they're aggressive. They just don't let off, you know. So I don't think they're going to make a comeback, but use it as a practice session and, you know, when you make it to Kigali, see, you know, learn from it.
What I'm curious about is what is it going to look like for them in Kigali? Because when you're in Kigali, you're playing against the top dogs.
And by the way, the people that are going to face Bangui, we're also looking at how Alali is playing.
Exactly. You know? So you still have, we still have a lot of teams that are in our other conferences in Senegal. You've got AS Douane, they are Monastir. Mm-hmm. These are all veterans in the ball.
Absolutely.
So I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like when you have a Bangui. Of course, it's still something to be applauded considering the fact that they're debutants. This is not, you know, they've made a big achievement regardless of the outcome of today's game. Mm-hmm. But I'm really curious to see what it's going to look like when it's time to play
And Mike,
ball.
Remember again, this is the fourth season of the Basketball Africa League. Mm. The games, the league has evolved tremendously over the last 4 years. The style of play has also changed. The mindset has also changed. And so going to Kigali in late May, they are going to be facing teams that are not the same as last year or the year before, even though they'll be meeting some of the same players that played against, but just the mindset alone. Omolemo, you know, at this point, the way Bangui is looking right now, right, it might end up going to Kigali over the Cape Town Tigers. But looking at these numbers, 53-32, second half, they are losing by 21 points to the defending champions. Do they have any chances if they're able to end up in Kigali? And if they do end up, what do they need to change in their roster or in their play for them to actually compete against some of these veteran teams?
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, for all of the video gamers out there who like to play 2K, there are very important things that you can attribute when you as an individual are not playing too well. So ideally, first, you have to stay on your assignment. And that's a video game term where if you are guarding a specific player, if you're a center and you're guarding the center, your main objective should be to always focus on the player that you are assigned to.
Mm-hmm. And tie him down.
And make sure that that person is not making a big contribution into why your team is losing.
Correct.
That's first of all. Second of all, Bangui needs to understand that shot selections are very important, especially when you're coming down with the ball and everybody's in their set position. So ideally right now what we're watching is Bangui's field goal I think percentage mm-hmm. is 28%, and they're 1-12 mm-hmm. from the three-point line. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're the coach, you have to look at this and understand that the way that they're shooting is also important to mm-hmm. how many shots they've made.
Right.
You can't just dribble without even considering any type of buildup mm-hmm. and shoot and keep bricking. So ideally, those are two important things that Bangui needs to keep noticing and stay focused on. Absolutely. Is the assignments and the shot selections. Very important.
Wise words from a young man. Yeah. That's Omolemo Kale. So basically, as a coach right now, have your guys start driving in. Why are you shooting and making only one bucket and continue to shoot from the outside? You know what I'm saying, Mike?
That's the only option.
Absolutely. With this kind of play, even if they make it to Kigali, there's no
chance.
It's
going to be tough.
Yeah. So, Mike, give us a little preview of some of the teams that will be in, I think it's the Sahara Conference that is coming up.
Senegal.
In Dakar, Senegal.
Yeah. So we've got, as I mentioned earlier on, we've got U.S. Monastir. They're BAL veterans. They're also up there going to be with the Rwandan team. Then we also have AS Douan. And, of course, the last team in that conference is going to be Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club. That, Jackson, is going to be a very interesting conference. No debutants. Everybody there has ball experience. Everybody there's been at it. Some of them have made it to the finals. AS Monastir has won it before. AS Douan has gone the long haul before. So that's going to be a very impressive conference. And once again, this is also showing how far a ball has come. It's really going to be interesting to see what the outcome is going to be like as we head closer and closer and closer to Kigali. But I also wanted to take it back to this game and highlight one thing, as you mentioned, Omolemo, which is really true. The Al Ahly have played really amazingly. They've been banking their threes. And the depth, of course, speaking more to the depth of it, they've shown that they don't need their veterans on the court. And I don't even want to call them the substitutes, because that's kind of like an insult, right? Considering the fact that they're balling out.
They're balling out, for sure.
Yeah. For me, I'll just say that a different squad is on the field today. They're really balling out. 6 of 17 3-points have been banked, which for me is a really amazing statistic. That means almost half of the 3-points that you've taken have been successful. 28 rebounds, 17 assists, and of course their field goal percentage is 54%. That right there for me, considering once again the fact that they've taken out their starting people, is an amazing statistic.
Absolutely. And then looking at some of the caliber of players that we saw this conference this year, the Nile Conference Fairs featured 5 players with the NBA G League experience. That was Thierry Serge Darlan playing for Bangui. Mm-hmm. He plays for G League Ignite. We had Kevin Murphy, who played for Al Ahly Libya. Plays for Grand Rapid. I think Kevin Murphy was, I think, a lead scorer at some point. Mm-hmm. PL Jackson.
Papi,
a.k.a. Papi, leading scorer for Al Ahly Libya. I believe they're making it to Kigali, he most likely will not, hopefully, but he was limping today in their game against the City Oilers. They need to rest him. We saw him last week on Saturday when they were playing against Egypt.
He only played so much of the game.
Injured himself, mm-hmm. but he kind of forced himself back into the game. He had to limp out and leave. Again, we have Dan Miller, who plays for the City Oilers. He plays for the G League team, the Oklahoma City Blue. The Nile Conference also features 17 former NAACA Division I players. Al Ahly's Prince Ali, Ihab Amin, he's in today, plays for the University of Oregon. Mark Lyons plays for the University of Arizona. He's currently the leading scorer with 8 points for Al Ahly. Paul Gardner plays for Marist College. Omal Orabi plays also playing for LRD right now, plays for the University of Southern California. The NAL Conference Fest also featured 8 players from 3 countries who participated in the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023. Majok,
my mate!
Lydia, Kaman Malwach of the City Oilers, played for South Sudan. Sulaiman Diabate of El Ali Libya, he's from Cote d'Ivoire originally. Ihab Amin, who's playing for El Ali Egypt right now. Omar Abdelrahim El Ali, where is Mokbil when we need him for the names? Omal Orabi also played for, was in the FIBA Basketball World Cup 2023. We are gearing up for the third quarter. We are in halftime. Bangui Basketball Club is trailing by 21 points against defending champions El Ali of Egypt. We saw that in the first two quarters, El Ali Egypt has just pretty much been using their bench. That's the kind of depth that the coach is playing with. But if you were the coach, Mike, for Bangui, how do you counter that? Now, you know that even though you're playing against skilled guys, they are not the first team. You know what I'm saying? It also gives, you know, you're thinking to yourself, maybe I should do better against the second squad here.
I mean, once again, that's why
my
I said
my first squad. You know, I mean, go ahead.
It's listen, respect your opponent at all times, yeah. Right? I think in this circumstance, Bangui just really needs to focus more on their shot selection, because that's really one of the biggest reasons as to why they're 21 points down, is that they keep breaking. Al-Ahli get the rebound, they go and they convert it, either take a three, as we mentioned, at least 50% of their 3 points have sunk. But they're also taking it to the hole. We've seen that time and time again. One point you even brought about where we debated, was that a shot, was that a pass,
right?
What was going on? That for me is telling a whole story behind why they're 21 points down. So I think moving forward, as they move into the second half, it's obviously going to be really difficult. 21 points, but once again, we saw this on Monday when the City Oilers closed that 30-point gap and they ended up going down just by 10 points.
Right.
Bangui can pull it back. The question is, do they have the discipline to make sure that they convert every shot they take, take it to the hall, you know, get those and-ones? They need that discipline now more than ever.
Absolutely, Mike Hovey, that's true. Now, as we're watching the Basketball Africa League, we're also watching here in the U.S. the NBA playoffs. I love when these two leagues intersect, you know what I'm saying?
It's always interesting.
And I love to have people in the studio that are fully invested in both leagues.
Oh, how like, are both your teams losing, bro? What's going on?
But listen, we still won in Boston, huh? Yeah. We, you know, Miami Heat got one in Boston. You know, I think we'll be good on the next one.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you're down 2 now. 2-1. Is it 2-1?
Yeah.
And your next game, Miami, we were talking to Paul Afono right now. He's a big supporter of the Miami Heat. He's known on a basketball group on WhatsApp. I'm sure each one of you guys who watch, you know, have their own WhatsApp groups. Ours is always on fire whenever these games are on. Paul doesn't sleep.
No, I don't sleep. Stress is a lot.
Yeah, so what are some of the teams that have exceeded your expectation this year in the playoffs? And some that have disappointed.
Oklahoma, you know, ranked number one, I guess, in their group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, young players, very young players, mm-hmm. and the way they are keeping up, you know, it's pretty good. The team that's kind of let me down.
Don't say the Lakers.
No, not the Lakers. I think the Lakers are getting to that age. Yeah. You know, Father Time is catching up, you know, so I don't expect LeBron to be who he was. He
prime
came to
time.
Miami and blessed us with a couple of trophies.
Right.
But Father Time has kicked in. I think it's Philly for me. You know, I like Embiid, but...
Yeah, what was that yesterday?
I don't know. I think
that's the
injuries are probably beginning
seen.
To creep
like,
in, you know?
Pulling up a guy who's about... He fell on the floor and it's... Who's pulling down a player. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I expect Philly and Boston should be the ones that, you know, should be leading the East and not cripple here and there. But, I mean, they're showing, you know, a few signs.
So. Right. We would love to hear more about the NBA and how they have disappointed my guy here. But we are in the third quarter in Cairo, 53-32, Bangui trailing Egypt. Let's go back to Cairo.
It is a part of his game that I guess think is underrated. He gets to drop the ball off right there to Jim Rabai, and it's also a way for him to get into the flow of the offense.
No, absolutely. And it's the quick transition, and that was good from Meg Scheide. Just saw how quickly Dalan was just moving and transferring himself into enemy territory. And the second is good.
You can count that one of two, and they now have a 20-point deficit that they need to try and claw back into.
I thought the clawing was only reserved for Lions.
I should have just kept it for him.
Come on, Q. Mitchell Jr. going out the bucket, doesn't fall. It's been picked up by Arabi. He's not moving, is he? From there, Jim Rabai. Out wide. Long range shot. That is sensational from Ali.
We've seen Ali connect from long range consistently. And when he sets his feet, he is dangerous.
Dalan. Jim Rabai goes himself. Good work from Jim Rabai. Tries to get it over the top of Mitchell Jr. Doesn't happen. Well, that's nearly a very good steal from Meg Snyder away from Amin, who doesn't lose the ball very often.
He doesn't lose the ball very often, but again, we continue to see the work from Meg Snyder. Touches, deflections, and it's just a persistent presence on the defensive end.
François Nyingi must be of Cameroon, the former coach of FAP from Cameroon. Took part in the first two editions of the BAL. Amen. Carries up the court. Prince Ali for three.
Streaky is not the right word, but he's definitely starting to heat up as Ali hits his second one from long range to open up his scoring here in the second half.
His hands are on Fuego. Jim Rabai. Gaife tries to go around Arabi. That's a travelling call on him. And you can see that Arabi, there's a little bit of mockery there.
Solid defence. He would put his body into that big frame. Can't shift him. And because he can't shift him, he gets caught in trouble. Turns the ball over.
He's such a colossal human being that it's really difficult to try and do anything around him.
Man mountain.
Mitchell Jr. Oh, that's another stupendous long-range shot from Mitchell Jr. All smiles, celebration, high fives, low fives. They're happy as Larry. That is a big score.
The third make from the three-point line as they go 3 for 3 in a row. And they force a timeout here on the floor. Mitchell this time on the back of two makes from Ali. And Al Ali in full control.
Back soon after the break.
My lord, gentlemen, this game.
I told you timeouts were going to be flowing.
Absolutely. 3-on-3, 9 points in just like a minute.
No response.
Yeah, no response.
Clap, clap,
the
clap.
Other side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I don't know at this point what Bangui has to do, because it's going to be a blowout of immense proportions. It's a statement. And I think that is what El Ali is trying to do in front of their home court fan base, to show that we own this, the Hassan Mustafa Stadium. We are home. Mm-hmm. We're about to give you a blowout game. These are all kids. I mean, we want to give it to Bangui. It's a debutant team, you know what I'm saying? But they're playing with a coach that has been around. I think this is his second or third. He's from Cameroon. Mm-hmm. But you know, the Bangui that I'm seeing right now is not the Bangui that played in the last couple of weeks. You know, I feel like they were putting up a better performance last week and early this week. Today, they don't feel like they're meshing. You know, they're out of sync. they're just like shooting and things are not going. You know what I'm saying? It's struggle. I guess the word I'm looking for, they're just struggling. You know, Mike?
It's really interesting. The first time that they met, the game was a lot closer, right? Yeah. The first time they met, the game ended up 79-85. Of course, the veterans, the Egyptians, won it. But it was a lot closer this time. Yeah. Oh, man, oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen, let's head back to Cairo.
Speakers, Al Ahly have got an answer to absolutely everything. We're seeing the defending champions play like champions.
They certainly are functioning and playing some amazing basketball in front of the home crowd. This is the biggest crowd we've seen in all of the days here at the NOW Conference.
Yeah, big crowd, lots of noise, lots of support every time that Al Ahly get themselves points. Here's Ali trying to deal with Dahlan. Goes down, and it's great work. Doesn't shift his body. It's gone down, and that's Rolly Fuller. And Rolly Fuller getting an important layup.
And that's how you get your star scorer in. It's the easy twos, the work on the defensive end, on the glass from Dahlan, and the pass out to Fuller.
Prince Ali gets up gingerly from that contact there as he fails to score points. Amen. And a long-range shot coming in. Everything working there at the moment. That is sensational from Nasser. That is rocket science.
It's so tough. It's like pick your poison in terms of Bangi. They don't know where to go out because all of the guards making long, open long-range shots.
Gaife getting caught out with Orabi. Orabi will foul there, and that'll be his first today.
Lead now 30 points. Gaife hasn't been as effective as we saw him in the last outing where he went for 20 and just really was a spark plug. They need a similar kind of effect from him in this all-important encounter for Bangi Sporting Club. 22 points and 11 rebounds he had off the bench. Something similar, but it's a different prospect inside the paint, a little bit more experience in the form of Orabi.
Yeah, but the landscape changes for every game, doesn't it? And, you know, I think that with Orabi, you do have a really awkward big bloke who's going to make life tough for you in every way.
Yeah, big body who gets involved on the physical side of the game.
I mean, back to Mitchell Jr. He scored from there before, but he didn't score from there this time. Jim Rabai picks it up. This is where they need to make sure these transition points are going to turn into something. Oh, that is delightful. Mid-range two from the front.
Some light for Bangi on the offensive end.
Well, at 26. Who knows? We've seen leads being chopped down like that many times. Nasser gets the ball out. Aim in for the three. The three, that's not good off the metal, but Orabi picks it up. The biggest bloke here in Cairo. Nice touch from Amin. Lovely, lovely pickup from Amin from Orabi.
Second chance points. The rebound is converted, and Amin right there to finish it up.
Fuller's shot comes back out. Prince Ali. 5:40 left in the third quarter.
Working against the zone.
Prince Ali, shot clock down to three, rolls back out, made safe by Dahlan. He wants to get away from Orabi, does really well to get rid of him. Is Rolly Fuller. Rolly Fuller goes on a bit of a wander, tries to get the ball back out, picked up by Gaife, swung out into the corner. Dahlan to three, comes back out once again, picked up by Jim Rabai. Seconds go back up onto the shot clock. Beg Scheider. Down to six. Need to get the shot in. 3 seconds to get it in. Oh, put it in like that. Dahlan, danger.
Dahlan does that with one shoe on. He's got no shoe on his left foot.
That's dangerously, that's very slippery on this surface, isn't it? But look, they're going to get points. It looks like it's Dahlan stopping
it. Unbelievable.
He needs his sneaker. He's got his sneaker back, and he's back on the ground. And he asks kindly Kelsey Reynolds to just blow the whistle, please, because that is just super dangerous otherwise. And he scored that.
Unbelievable. Made the shot and then was trying to play defense and then still managed to get up the floor and get the finish.
with just one shoe.
Shoeless darling scores epic layup. I mean, you know, you could make the headlines big time.
Well, that's just one way to try and...
Look at that. That pass from Greg Schneider. Top quality. He comes up. He lifts off.
He takes off
from his sock
foot. Exactly. And then manages to keep traction.
Come on!
Unreal.
What an athlete.
And there's so many firsts. I've never seen that before.
I've never seen that before. He deserves a round of applause for that. That is magnificent.
Well, it takes him up to 10 points.
Mitchell Jr. Little tip in. Doesn't happen. And here he is, Dallin once again. This will fire him up as well. He goes right through the middle. Around Mitchell Jr. And he gets contact there as well.
Right, it certainly has seemed to make him up his intensity a little bit. He goes down hard. And he's pointing at his elbow.
Yeah, pointing to his right elbow there. Straight to the free throw line. Well, he's stealing a little bit of the Alali thunder at the moment.
I keep going back to that moment in the first half. He has to steal some of the thunder because he caught a technical foul and forced a technical foul from the Alali bench. So the only response you can have is on the floor.
Well, he's...
And that's where he lost his shoe.
Oh, there it is. That's the shoe. What's doing? How did he lose his shoe? He just got snagged, didn't it, down the side there? And oh well, it doesn't matter. That's how focused and locked in on the game he is.
He got 5 points without a shoe.
There you go. I don't know anybody who's done that. Rolls back out. Need to. It is another BAL record, isn't it? It's exactly that. It's. Nasser, amen. Darting into the paint, goes out wide. Prince Ali, and contact. And they give the ball back to Bangi.
Amen. Amen gets called for the foul. They're blocking foul, trying to just create a screen and block so that Ali can get a shot off.
Prince Ali, the first player into double figures there with 11. Here he is going again. That's nicely done. Buffet doing the business there.
And that's the ebbs and flow of a basketball game. Now, Bunky are starting to find fluency in their offense.
They are indeed. Amen. Nasser out wide. Mitchell Jr. chucks it out wide. Amen. Goes for three. Does he get the three? No, he doesn't. It's been made safe. Who's there? It's that man, Darling. He's the... Oh, it goes very high. That was very close. Rolly Fuller. And, you know, sometimes you got to make the shouts. He made the shout.
He took the risk. It is a risky pass to go up over, especially with Fuller ahead of the defense. But it's the intent, the energy behind it, the rebound, and it just trying to get quick scores for his team.
Lions distributes. Gets it back. Amen in the corner. His sweet spot. That sweet spot of Amen. Oh, my.
Likes the corner threes, and you're absolutely correct. It's where he finds his most joy.
Kaife. Jim Rabai moving into position. Tries to outmuscle that Mitchell Jr. Does really well. Mitchell Jr. doesn't budge too much, but doesn't commit. Here it is. Kedju can't pick it up. It's picked up by Jim Rabai. Down into Darlan. Darlan drops it up and goes in. Does he get? Oh, it's an offensive foul, I think.
No, they got the block. Darlan gets the continuation.
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
And Lions goes to ground.
Yeah, there's definitely still moving, isn't he?
Buddy in the wrong position. He was completely turned, and he gets knocked to the ground. Lions trying to spur the referees to try and trigger the replay system, but it's not going to work. Darlan gets another make. 15 now.
Top scorer for this Bangi team. It's 19 points. But they are still scoring points. Kedju wrestling. That's been That is not going anywhere apart from out into the hands of the Bangui player. And that was Ngaifei Vegscheider. Rolly Fuller hasn't even come to the fore properly yet, has he? So the old 4 points. Tim Rabai.
The best period of a game offensively for Bangui in this contest.
Two left in the third. Aiming, sweet spots. No, doesn't happen. Now, racing up. He's going to go all the way, Rolly Fuller. Oh, he doesn't manage to do it, but Ngaifei has the ball tapped out of his hands, and they will just keep possession. No foul. Aiming did super well there.
Pressure and just the ability to contest. Fuller deciding to go on his own. Lions, the legal contest, and Aiming just were able to get a touch on.
Vegscheider. Using Ngaifei. It's a little bit too hard off the glass. Now they got a chance. Prince Ali. What about that for a pass? What about that for a dunk? That is massive, massive.
The pass and the finish. And it is Air Ali who gets the dunk for two.
One 18 left. Long shot. Mitchell Jr. Now they got numbers in positions, and they got this man here. Lions, well, he was it a shot or was it a pass? It doesn't matter. Kedji was there.
Definitely a shot.
Yeah, thank you. Jim Rabai, 50 seconds left in the third. Ngaifei trying to deal with Kedju. Traveling call. A little bit of movement there. He's shifting. You know, he's getting teased by Kedju. Let's just have a look at what we just saw. This massive dunk. Look at this.
Point pass, and Ali skies up and rises up for the finish. Put your hands up in the air.
I thought you were going to start singing. Then.
The thought did cross my mind.
Come on, Q. We're waiting for it. It happened at the end of the NAL conference. Flung out to Lions. Lions, just comes off the wrong way. Picked up by Jim Rabai. Down to the other end. Oh, a little touch there from Lions. Otherwise, Vegscheider will have poached that, pinched it, and rattled it in.
They are trying to push the tempo. They really are just trying to get above half court before the defense gets a chance to set up. That's just great awareness from Lions. Trying to find Vegscheider on the connection.
Jim Rabai. Vegscheider. Last few seconds. That's a great score, isn't it, from Vegscheider? Just he finds that little space and he says, right, I'm ready to just launch that shot.
Sure, Coach Inyenga would be asking where all of this was in the first half. Are they playing a lot better here in the second?
Long range shot coming over. They got a last chance to get a shot in. It's a little bit too late. That's not going to happen. And it is 74-53. And 21 points ahead, Al Ahly. Can they come back? So many questions. They show sparks, but they can't light the fire in a big way.
21 points to 19 in the third quarter. They play almost even, and it was better showing from Bangui. They will want to close out strong here in the fourth.
We'll be back after a break.
Basketball Africa League special coverage here on The Voice of America. It's El Ahly versus Bangui Basketball Club playing in Cairo. It is 74-53. El Ahly leading and playing in front of the home court. I don't know whether that is what is powering them, giving them this momentum. But again, they are the defending champions of the Basketball Africa League. As it stands right now, Mike, as we are looking at the playback of the dunk of the game from Ali, do you think Bangui has a way to crawl their way back to at least to close this gap? It's quite a lead.
Crawling their way is going to be a tough one. A lot of their players have been on the court the whole game. Clearly shows that they don't have the depth that Al Ahly have. The good part is the game now has new leading scorers. Prince Adams Ali for Al Ahly, he's now got 13 points, and Thierry Dolan went before he was the third scorer for Bangui Sports Club. He's now the leading scorer with 15 points, but he's also their leading rebounder with 7 rebounds, showing that he must be a man on a mission. He's the Bangui's hottest worker right now on the court. But once again, goes back to that point that Omolemo brought up. Their choice of shots hasn't been looking really great. They have improved a little bit over the past quarter. But leading into that final quarter, they need to do a lot better if they're trying to make sure that, at the very least, they pad up this game. It's going to be tough to close up 21 points. But hey, impossible is nothing.
Looking at some of the game summary, 24 assists to 9.
Beautiful.
24 for El Ahly, 9 for Bangui. Steals, 5 steals. Bangui has 10 steals. That's quite a number there, given that they're really trailing far, far behind. We're into the last 10 minutes of this game. The fourth quarter just started. And we're going to go back to Cairo.
Oh, that is how to get rid of a defender. Let him loose and then go up yourself.
And we continue to just see how deep the offensive bag of Vekshide is. That's a great finish. Calm and composed he was.
Perfect way to start this fourth quarter. But what can they do? Can they build on this? Can they deal with this Al Ahly and just stop this attacking performance, this offensive display that they're brandishing, because they've got artillery all across the floor, haven't they?
Depth in rotation, arguably two of the teams with the most depth in their rotation in this conference, and it's all going to come down to just composure here. Al Ahly will take their time and make good decisions.
Lions throw a three!
Another long-range bomb as Lions lines up that one again. 11 points now.
And all of a sudden, things change. 2 from 17 for Bangui, 12 from 35, 34%. All comes out to Dalan. Dalan's on 15 points. Vekshider's on 16. Mid-range 2 just to drop it over the top, but it's been picked up by Kedju. Lions, this time, left side. Oh, it's just been watched and picked out. Too easy for Lions. Moheb. Gaifey, this time it's a little bit better. Vekshider's in position. Need to just bide their time. They don't have to rush things. I think they're rushing a little bit too much.
And it's the trying to push the pace and tempo up the floor that you see the long passes that are getting picked off by the Al Ahly defense. And whether it's Lions or anybody else, they're just aware.
Traveling call going against Patrick Gardner, Egyptian international. Born in New York, coming into just finding his flow in the BAL for his first taste of this league.
Getting 18 minutes a game, and he's averaging 10 points and 5 rebounds, Patrick Gardner. 19 points against the Warriors.
Dalan in possession, and Wegscheider makes way for Kamayenge.
Just a breaking play, and I think the clock situation is being reviewed.
Gives the players the chance just to gather and just try and work out, you know, fix a few things. It's always fast and frantic. Terry Dallin looks like he's a little bit out of breath. He's been thrown around the court a little bit, but because he plays such physical basketball, you know, and it's going to be an interesting year for him, isn't it, Q?
It definitely is. Declaring for the NBA draft, it's going to begin the process of hopefully getting picked up by one of the NBA teams, and it all was made and announced here in the Basketball Africa League.
Massive news. Dalan goes up for a big three, picked up by Ngaifei. And then Rolly Fuller still hasn't found his range for those long-range shots that we know he's super capable of fulfilling, hitting, nailing, whatever you want to call it. A again, another lull. This is where you really want to try and accelerate. This is just all about Al Ahly and how they deal with things. This is Mohib back out to Lions. And there's Mohib. Kedju with the rebound. Gardner tries to drop it over the top. The little tip in, and it's picked up by Rolly Fuller. The bigs are back in position. Rolly Fuller tries to go up and in. That is sensational use of the right arm from Rolly Fuller.
Well, his most quiet game on the offensive end in this conference, and he finally just manipulates on that drive and a little hook. 6 points for Fuller.
That's stunning as well from Gardner, just putting himself in that position, getting over the chop, and just, oh, lovely.
Straight line drive, zero arc, but it goes straight into the rim.
Darlan goes up for a big bucket. Comes back off the metal and picked up by Gardner. El Gendi.
4 of 19 shot percentage now for Darlan.
El Gendi. Lions. Mohib! Look at that. That is top quality, isn't it, from Ahmed Mohib.
You miss on one side, they make you pay on the other. And Mohib, great shooting.
Tommy Inge, Jim Rabai, Rolly Fuller. Rolly Fuller's attempt. Gaffé just goes around Kedju.
We would call for over the back for sure.
Yeah, the clamp foul from Gaffé on Kedju. And that's his third foul. 5:58 left on the clock. Fourth quarter before we wrap up the Nile Conference. We'll be going to the Sahara Conference next week. There's a quick turnover. And it's next Saturday, a week today, that we have the opening games.
And that should be just as exciting. Just four amazing teams that are still trying to book those two tickets.
And we start off with no one else but the season one. Season two winners, US Monastir from Tunisia. And Zamalek winning the first, US Monastir the second, Al Ahly the third, and they will take on APR of Rwanda.
So debutants. And then we have a look at AS Douan and Rivers Hoopers, the four teams that will close out their conference. And this is the rotation again from Al Gendi. But you have a look at the what Coach Zuba is doing, and no starting players on the floor as he goes deeper and deeper into his rotation.
Comes off his own foot. Kizawi will pick this up, and that's going in there. Oh, no. It's gone right over the top. Another chance.
Well, that's almost a comedy of errors, but a bailout call as Fuller commits the foul. Kizawi, and those are moments on the floor where you wish you could just hide and for a couple of seconds and come back up, and then, you know, let's get the possession going again.
84-59, Al Ahly storming ahead of Bangui Sporting Club of Central African Republic. We'll take a timeout and we'll be back after the break. Of the
Basketball Africa League special coverage here on the Voice of America Denial Conference final day. Some exciting matches. Right now, it's El Ahly Egypt playing against Bangui, and it seems like it's going to be a blowout for El Ahly. It's, how many, 6 minutes left in this fourth quarter? Things are not looking good for Bangui. Lack of depth on the bench is really hurting them, using the same players for the last, the same guys are playing, and you can tell they're really tired. The chemistry too, really struggling to pass the balls, connecting. And Egypt has slowed down a little bit, but still far, far ahead, and they can afford to relax at this point. As for me, I'm hoping that they can make it to over 100, because that is what the bet we have going on here in studio is. But El Ahly is the defending champions of the Basketball Africa League. I'm sure their goal is to make a statement here and head to Kigali. As we prepare for the Sahara Conference, there will be training to meet some of these teams that will make it out of the Sahara Conference to meet up in Kigali in the end of May, early June for the finals, hoping that they will continue their championship, to hold on to that championship. Mike, El Ali is making a statement with this one. Bangui, we talked about earlier, things, some of the things they need to do to be able to kind of close this up. I mean, you don't want to have a 30-point difference, as we saw with the City Oilers earlier. What are some of the things that they're doing right now that gives you hope that they, I mean, they're not going to, definitely not going to win this, I hate to say that, but at least come make it, you know,
well,
reduce that deficit.
In terms of reducing the deficit, what one thing they are doing correctly now is that as much, well, what they're doing wrong, let's start off there, is their players are tired. They need to have that depth, but, you know, you can't start creating depth now into, at this point in the tournament. However, they are taking it to the hall. Their players are picking up a lot more points in comparison to their previous three quarters. Right now, though, once again, they still have a lot of the same players that started off in the first quarter that are still on the court right now. Jimmy Jimrabai, he's still on the court right now. He has 10 points for Bangui. Al Ahly, they have just rotated the entire squad, man. The entire five that were there just before, you know, we went to the break. It's a whole different, you know, five that are on the court right now. But speaking of that, let's head back to Cairo, and we come back when there's the next break.
Gaffey goes high. Oh, that is just sublime from Nambai.
Superb touch, Nambai. You know, steps into that one, and it's a much needed make for the Bangui Sporting Club.
Well, I could steal that. Can't touch it. And now it's beautifully put in. Excellent play from Nambai again.
It heads up play as well. He had the presence of mind to get his hands on the ball and finish. Five quick points for Nambai.
Sahan El Gendi being hassled by the same player. Long range shot going up.
Oh my.
That is massive from El Gendi. Takes the foul, gets the three-pointer. That's a big, big score, isn't it?
Every time Bangui make a run, there's always a trigger moment, and Nambai gets right into the body of Gendi, and he has a chance for a four-point play. Much to the joy of all of his teammates.
But the number of points at the moment, so you can see, 25. And if we have 25 points, then we know that that's going to be a scenario that's quite complicated.
Well, it could mean that the best third place will be decided by a matter of 5 or 6 points.
That's a great score, that is, from Kamayenge.
Kamayenge cutting in, and he gets the finish there. But 16 points, because of point differential and what the table looks like, is going to look and bring in that scenario in the two conferences. You can remember with the Kalahari conference already being played. You have a look at the Kamayenge again attacking third place in the Kalahari Conference, so the Cape Town Tigers involved. But Bangui.
Kizawi goes up for three, back off the rim.
With their three wins, and with Al Ahly picking up three wins, leaves a scenario where you have to look at head to head first, and then what that could mean in comparison. We'll get into that a little later, I think.
There's so much happening here in the NAR conference. Jimrabai swings it out. Kamayenge scored a great And he scored another great shot as well. Look at that. I was watching. There was so much happening there. He's come to the fore, hasn't he? 90 points to 69. 21 points.
I think to simplify, they got to look at that 16-point mark based on what happened in the first game.
It's exactly that. It's the points differential, isn't it?
Tigers are minus 41 right now in the scenario. Sees Bungie at minus 25. And they lose by more than 16 points.
That will make up. That will come to 41 plus, which means that there leaves the doors a little bit open there for the Tigers.
It does.
That's what we're saying. Well, Gizawi up to the free throw line once again, looking to try and get closer and closer to that three-digit figure. The rebound's been picked up. Gizawi out to Saran. Saran for three. Goes right over the top there. Gardner does well to keep it in play. Up towards Nambai. He goes for the layup. Beautiful score. That's nice and neat, isn't it?
You know, he's just come alive, hasn't Nambai? That's 9 points now. Necessary spark for Bangi.
Gizawi, Gardner! Big three for Gardner.
Gathers and hits. Gardner growing 3 points from the outside.
23 left to play. No, that is massive coming from Nambai. Everybody's going for those big shots. Here's Gizawi. Gizawi puts it into the path of Hendawi, who can't take the pass.
Third time we've seen him take to the floor. The elevate player, save Hendawi, can't get the connection from his front court, back court partner, Gizawi.
Kamayenge. Another three. Nope. It's short. Elgendi will take that quite comfortably. Gardner. ...49.8 seconds remaining.
...94-71.
The Basketball Africa League right there, VOA coverage. We're covering the ongoing game between Egypt's Al Ahly, the hosts of the Nile Conference. They're playing against Central Africa Republic's Bangui Sporting Club, and the score right now is 94 points to 71. Will they make it to 100? That's the big question at hand. 48 seconds left in the final quarter of the game. Paul, I'm going to bring you in here real quick, man. What's your thoughts on how Bangui's playing as they try to cover up those
horrible
points? Oh, yeah?
Horrible. I mean, it's bad. It's, you know, they're so disorganized on defense, you know. At the same time, they're exhausted.
They're tired. There's no rotation.
You know, shot selection, you know, like he said, is I mean, it's abysmal.
Well, unfortunately,
coach's challenge with the grade level of Coach Bush. D-minus, it's really unfortunate to see the shot selection that the individuals are choosing to do despite, you know, the amount coming off of the bench, points they're coming by. Rotation. You know, you would think that when you're a player that has
he's obviously feeling the confidence that his team have managed to rally, produce the right performances out here this week. You know, few little injury issues like he said to you, but at the same time, you know, to have that loss against the Oilers just puts them in a good position to understand exactly what it, you know, you need to know how to lose sometimes to be able to hit back and become stronger.
And nothing hurts more than losing at home in front of your home fans. It's you know, the fans are loyal irrespective, but it can kickstart and has kickstarted. We saw it happen last year as well when they lost to Pedro. They came through to the playoffs and they literally made sure that of strong performances every time it counted. And what we've seen is that kind of effect for this Al Ahly team.
There we go. You can see Lions is in the mood to move.
He has every reason to move like that. He was, again, good on the floor. 11 points, Lions. Celebratory mood.
But look, you know, it's all about scoring points. Every single player in the LLE team has scored points tonight, even those who have been rarely, you know, who've been used literally, very little on the court out there tonight and during the week. Kamayenge. Ngaife. 34 seconds remaining. A foul committed. 94-71.
31.9 seconds.
So because we've not still got a Sahara Conference, of course, we haven't seen any of the teams play there, which we'll find out starting from next week. We'll understand who's in that third position as well to understand exactly sort of, you know, which two of the three teams will go through. So it just means that there's a door that's wide open, but, you know, teams are still qualified. It's only the Oilers who won't be going. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that we are certain about, because this best place third scenario exists. You have to wait until the conferences are done to understand who picks up the qualifying spots.
And because of the situation in the Kalahari Conference with the fourth team Dynamos that didn't. They're not taken into consideration, so the fourth team of every conference is dropped, and we're just looking at the top three teams.
The differential between the top three teams.
Because all of the results between the fourth team and all of the other teams are just taken away.
Yep.
Does that make it clear for everyone?
I hope so.
Well, this is it. They're just going to run it out. They know. Alali have and are crowned the Kings of the Nile Conference. They will finish as the top team. They've qualified in first place, top seeds from the Nile Conference. And then, of course, in second place, we will have the team of Alali, Libya, who will go through a second. Bangui will definitely be in the pool of one of the three teams to be, but we have to wait until the end of the Sahara Conference. It's as simple as that.
They definitely will. They do finish third, but now it's maths and calculators. But congratulations to the defending champions to pick up a big win and close out a successful campaign here in the Nile Conference. And they will book their ticket to Kigali as one of the top two teams.
They will indeed. And, well, that's been a fascinating Nile Conference queue, to be perfectly honest with you. So I think that... you know, what we've seen out here today is a big statement for Alali. Now they know what kind of basketball and what kind of a reference game they have going into, you know, Kigali. They'll know what they can do. They'll work on what they haven't managed to do and how they got rattled. And we'll see a bigger and stronger team in Kigali, I imagine.
And the fact that there's always permutations involved in every game, and winning is the best way to keep yourself out of the calculations. They did a fantastic job, did Alali, picking up that win. 13 points as Adams Ali leads the way.
Let's go and catch up with Prince Ali.
This conference, job done.
It was amazing, man. It was my first time out here in Egypt. It's my first couple of games with the team, and it was amazing, man. We played together. We had some adversity right there with the City Oilers, but we got through it, and we was able to continue, and it's amazing, man.
As you just mentioned, this is your first experience at the BL. How do you evaluate your performance?
I think I improved every game. From game one, game two, game three, we had a little tumble there, but then I came back up today, so I'm very proud of my performance.
Thank you very much, and see you in Rwanda.
Appreciate you, my man.
Well, there we go, 4 from 8, but he put in a strong performance. That was an important game for him to, you know, come up and say, look, I'm also capable of, you know, being one of those players who can, you know, make a big statement and be part of this rotational team.
Well, a team that has so much depth picking up a 13 points in a on a day when four players go into double digits, and when they hit 15 or 44 threes, and it just the assist number, those 27 assists, the way they shared the ball against the defense that was thrown at them, they executed excellently, and I think it was a great performance to close out what was a successful campaign for Al Ahly in this Nile Conference.
Al Ahly Libya Sporting Club 110-78 with Jolul Achuil getting 42 points and making history in the BAL top scorer. And efficiency fantastic from him. Al Ahly 94-71, and that is that's the victory that Al Ahly were looking for, to finish with 5-1. So it's Al Ahly Libya going through in the second place behind Al Ahly of Egypt. Bangui still with a chance to go through as one of the best third place teams. Congratulations to all these teams and all of the wonderful basketball we had here in Egypt. It's been a wonderful 9 days of competition. Thanks very much. And that's the standings, of course, just to give you the lay of the land. And, you know, Bangui down there in third place because they picked up 3 wins just below Al Ahly Libya. But it is, of course, the defending champions, and Coach Chulbe, who did a fantastic job of leading the way once again, underlining their importance and flying the Egyptian flag as the Egyptian teams seek their third BAL title in 4.
Well, and he's seeking his third title as a coach. So definitely punching the ticket is the first step to replicating success. It's been a fantastic conference here in the Nile.
We'll see you in Dakar next week. Thanks very much for watching. Good night.
Basketball Africa League, the Nile Conference, ladies and gentlemen, officially comes to the end. The 2024 Nile Conference in Egypt. The defending champions, Al Ahly Egypt, looks very strong going into Kigali to defend their title, beating Bangui with a margin of over 20 points, almost came to 30 points. That is on the back of Libya, as Al Ahly beating Uganda City Oilers by another blowout win. The two teams right now leading that conference are Egypt and Libya, and they'll head to Kigali with quite, you know, a wind of confidence at their back. But, you know, Bangui has not, as a debutant team, really has not done so badly themselves. Honestly, they have exceeded expectations for me. Now, we know that the way the BAL regulations stand is that the teams that finish in the top 2 places of each conference qualify to go to Kigali for the playoffs, while the 2 best third place teams from across of the 3 conferences, and we know now Cape Town Tigers were the last of Cape Town Tigers were last in Pretoria. That was Pretoria, the Kalahari Conference, which was played in Pretoria. So they will be competing for that toss up position with Bangui Basketball Africa. Bangui Basketball. You know, guys, we've been talking Sports for 3 club. Hours. You know, that happens. The brain gets fried at this point. But in case you're just joining us, this is the Basketball African League special coverage. Mike Hovis, bring us the stat, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So as we wrap up the Nile Conference, of course, Al Ahly, the host of the Nile Conference, Al Ahly Sporting Club, that's Al Ahly SC, were crowned kings of the Nile Conference. We also had Al Ahly Libya Sporting Club, who came in second place of the Nile Conference. So they're going to be advancing alongside their North African compatriots. That is the host of the Nile Conference. They're going to be both advancing towards Kigali in the finals. And in third place, we have Bangui Sporting Club, who have the exact same record as a second place Al Ahly Libya. They played 6 games, won 3, lost 3. And in last position of the Nile Conference is the Ugandans City Oilers. They played 6 games, 1-1 against, of course, the veterans themselves, Al Ahly Egypt, but lost 5 games. In the game itself, just to update on some of the statistics, we had Prince Adams Ali. You heard from him in an interview not so long ago. He wrapped up the game with 13 points to his name. Mark Stephen Lyons, 11 points to his name. And, of course, I'm Sharif Mohammed El Gendi with 10 points. And, of course, for Bangui Sports Club, we have Kirk Curry with 16 points, Thierry Darlan with 15 points, and Jim Rabai with 10 points to his name. But he's also Bangui's leading a rebounder. Paul, let me bring you into this, man. We have second and third of the Nile Conference occupying the exact same points. What do you think this looks like for Cape Town Tigers, considering the fact that Bangui are looking really good right now with the 3 wins, 3 losses?
They still have a chance.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
I think
at this point?
Yeah.
I don't know. Honestly think they don't have any chance. Yeah, which for me makes sense that Lebese Selebi is jumping ship. Because if they had any chance, you think if that first of all made it to the playoffs, you think he would have made it? He would have jumped ship as it is?
Well, he wouldn't have to jump ship.
He wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
Right, he wouldn't have to.
Yeah.
But then again, since we are family, I think we have somewhat of the same kind of mentality for certain things. So I do think there would have probably still been a chance he would have jumped ship.
Yeah. So when you spoke to him, and we do have your conversation with Lebese Selebi lined up. First of all, what kind of player is he, and what did he tell you before we are queuing up the tip for a conversation with him?
Well, you know, Lebese is he has a lot of similarities with a lot of different kinds of players if we had to make a reference as what kind of a player he is. But Lebese personally is a hard worker, you know. So ideally, he just wants to win more than him focusing on being a good shooter, a rebounder, you know, playmaker. He's really just a winner at heart, you know. So if anything, he's someone that you want on your team that doesn't necessarily isn't too self-absorbed, you know. So that's
he's
more
a team
of a
player.
Team player.
Indeed, yeah. And a winner.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll get to that, but Mike, one of the things that, you know, going to this game, the game we just watched between El Ahly Egypt and Bangui Basketball Club, for me, what surprised me is kind of how my expectations for Bangui, first of all, was that they're going to come in this to make
a statement,
beating the champions, but from the get go. They didn't seem to have the energy. They just seemed to be off.
From the get-go, Egypt's Al Ahly was there to make a statement. I think one of the commentators highlighted that, you know, this game for them, they didn't have to win this. Either way, they were in. They secured this spot to Kigali. But I think it was about leaving a mark and making the fans know that, hey, we're a legacy. We're part of that, North African dominance in terms of the sport of basketball. Mm. I think for them, also, it's making a statement that the defending champs are here. You know, when John Cena came in and said, the champs are here. I think for them, it's about that.
Yeah,
it's about
absolutely.
Making a statement of making sure that people know that, hey, giants are here in your presence.
Yes.
I think this also makes a psychological statement for anybody that's watching them. As they play against them in Kigali, they're going to know that, hey, these guys are not here to play. These guys have no time to joke around.
Mm. The Nile Conference hosts, that's the El Ahly of Egypt, now hold a 9-2 home record dating back to the last season. And so by beating Bangui in front of their fans, really kind of a sign of, you know, the gratitude for their tireless support. You're playing in front of their home fan base. Yeah. You want to show out.
The Kings are here.
Show off and show out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Paul, looking at the caliber of basketball from El Ahly, I know you haven't seen the other teams. You probably wasn't, weren't following the earlier games. I'm talking about the earlier conference, the Kalahari conference. But how would you say they are able to match up. Just looking at some of the games they have played so far, I mean, we were here last Saturday.
Yeah.
We watched them. They are, you know, a good basketball team in all ways. You know, the depth on the bench. Mm-hmm. They have veteran players, some with the Kiwaratas, but they still show up. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen highlights of the other divisions, but I like Al Ahly Egypt because one thing I like about basketball is being aggressive,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how you set your dominance from the get-go. And that's the first thing they do. You know, you don't see them, you know, jacking up shots. What they do is they kind of get physical, get their offense going, test you out and see how, you know.
How do you respond?
How do you respond? Mm-hmm. And then when you don't, then they go on an offensive blast. So I have them as my favorites for me personally coming out of this division.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Defending champions, Al Ahly blowing out Bangui. And they're going to have some time to rest and practice and get ready for Kigali.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to just to sit back, as you saw from, you know, the first squad, you know, just sat out. Really, they played the first 8 minutes or 10 minutes, and they were like, their coach was like, you know what, you got this. Let's bring in the younger boys too, and that's, you know, the margin 94-71. But let's go back to the Kalahari Conference with our exclusive interview done by Omolemo Kale, who's joining us, who joined us throughout this game in studio. Omolemo had a conversation with Lepese Salebe, a player with formerly now, based on some of the breaking news we've learned today, formerly with the Cape Town Tigers. This is what he had to say.
Wow. Okay, so I'm Lepese Salebe. I'm from Soweto, born and raised. What I currently do, I play professional basketball for a team called Cape Town Tigers. We participate in the Basketball Africa League. And as well as in South Africa, we play in the Basketball National League. And the bridge between the Basketball National League and the Basketball Africa League is a tournament called Road to BAL. And that's where we spend most of our time, either preparing for the National League or preparing for the Africa League.
How did you get into the BAL? Was it through maybe high school, college, maybe an academy or something of that nature? How did you get in?
So, I mean, I've always played basketball since high school, right? And it wasn't something that I'm going to do as a profession because in South Africa, there wasn't that avenue of professional basketball until Cape Town Tigers came along. So, I mean, I went through high school, played basketball there, went to university, played basketball in varsity, and I qualified as a cost and management accountant. That's the degree that I got, and I worked as an accountant for 6 years. And when Cape Town Tigers started, I was going through turmoil in my professional career. I was on the verge of getting fired, and fortunately, Cape Town Tigers came knocking at my door and asked if I would be willing to help them out. Which I was. I mean, I grasped that opportunity with both hands. And here we are, you know. It's not like in America where you have to go through a draft. And, you know, it worked out quite differently for me. It was just a phone call, basically, and an offer to just participate and help them qualify for the BAL. This was in 2021, going into the 22 season. So, I mean, I grasped that opportunity with both hands because basketball is something that I always did. And the opportunity to do it professionally was something that I would not bypass because fortunately for me, I was 30 years old at the time and I could still play. So here we are.
The way you got picked up was more almost like you almost got like recruited, yes? Or did you maybe like try out in a combine and then your name was just in their files and then they looked for you and then they just went to you and called you up? Or was it just like was as random as it seemed?
I mean, it was exactly like that. I didn't go to no combine. I got called up to a practice session that they were having in Pretoria, preparing for the road to BAL. So I went to the practice session. I had a very good session. And fortunately for me, the market of basketball in South Africa is very small. So people are going to know who you are. And at that time, I was a competitor. I was an opponent of Cape Town Tigers. So I think my name was on their radar. They knew that to bulk up the squad, they'd need a few more senior players. And the senior players that they had at the time were guys that I played with in the national team. Peter Prinsloo, Letlhogono Lotholo, Chris Gabriel, you know, was with the team at the time. So it was easy for me to adjust and to play for Cape Town Tigers. And I mean, speaking of BP, he's been there since I started. You know, he may have left the team, but he's been there since I started. He's a phenomenal player, very skilled. It's unfortunate that he's not in the NBA because that's what his skill set is. You know, he really is that good. I hope he can somehow get back into the league because a guy with that skill set at that height. I saw on Instagram the other day, somebody said that he's a 6'10" guard. Because that's what he is, you know. He dribbles just like guards. He's got the size of a big. He shoots from outside. I love playing with him. I love watching him grow. I love what he is as a player.
Puma came up with a hashtag, right?
Mm-hmm.
This hashtag, not just in BAL, but in multiple almost in all of their sporting partnerships that they branch out to. Please remind me what the hashtag is and if there is any significance in what that hashtag even means.
So shout out to Puma, man. You know, Puma has been in my side of the court for a very long time. I started wearing Pumas 3 seasons ago. The deal just became pen to paper. It used to be just merchandise, comfort, lifestyle wear. It's been a nice journey with them, and I really pray to God and hope that we can carry on for the longest time, because I'm comfortable with the brand. I associate with the brand, and I mean the hashtag is Forever Foster, right? And it's just exactly that. It's trying to remain relevant and Foster through every sporting code that you do. Faster on the court, faster on the track, faster for the soccer players, you know, faster for the golfers. It's brilliant, right? There's a campaign, which is a global campaign, which every Puma athlete on the globe jumped on. You know, I'm talking from Neymar, Harry Maguire, Jack Grealish, myself. We all jumped on the global campaign where we had those Puma eyes, and it's basically seeing the game the way a Puma athlete sees the game, which is exactly that, Forever Foster.
Were you the first, or maybe one of the first athletes in the BAL to be sponsored officially by Puma or something of that nature?
Well, I think on this continent, Nkosinathi Sibanyoni and I are the first ever endorsed athletes by any brand. You know, Puma, what Puma has done is very brave, because endorsement deals are not something that's very new on this continent. You know, it's things that we see in Europe, South America, America. So for them to just throw in the fish and, you know, bait Natty and I and we hook and, you know, we're running together. It's just great. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. I can't wait to see what the future years have in store for Natty and I. Maybe a signature shoe. Maybe, you know, you just never know. And I'm excited. I'm happy.
That was Lebese Celebe. Sorry. Right now, I think it's official. We can call him a former player with the Cape Town Tigers. Crazy that last week when we were playing that interview, he was still officially with the Cape Town Tigers, but he's not with the Tigers anymore. And we have the man in the studio who actually interviewed him, Omolemo Kel, a.k.a. Kale, joining us. Omolemo. What more can you tell us about Lebese Celebe in terms of his deal with, I think, Puma? Is it Puma?
Puma.
And how he's able to leverage that to, I guess, if he's able to move, if he moves from the Cape Town Tigers, does he stay with that contract?
Well, as far as maybe specifics in what the contract
entails, you know, about moving, staying, being an athlete or anything like that. I can't be too specific on those types of things. But as far as the Puma's idea of endorsing him, you know, Puma had already been in the conversation with him, you know, giving him, you know, free clothing,
free
merchandise, yeah, you know, to put on his Instagram and, you know, advertise, you know, these things. So with Puma, Puma is probably going to give him other types of benefits, you know, and Puma is kind of taking a little bit of a chance giving Lebese an endorsement because he's one of the first, so he would be a catalyst in this scenario here.
And Mike, these endorsements are contingent on the player staying playing,
right,
regardless of which league he plays in.
Yeah, so usually it is a case of a player being an active player, right? Because you want to make sure that his visibility is there.
He's helping the brand.
Right, yeah. It's supposed to help the brand. I know that when they signed Lebisa, they also signed, as I mentioned earlier on, Kosinathi Sibanyoni. I think they're the only two in the whole Basketball Africa League right now who have an exclusive Puma deal, which is something to be applauded. Of course, Puma being one of the active brands that jumped onto trying to capitalize on the Basketball Africa League, trying to capitalize on the growth of the sport, but at the same time having more visibility in South Africa. Everybody knows Jordan, Nike. These are brands that have a big chokehold when you're talking of African sports, but Puma trying to use that opportunity. Now, when it comes to Lebisa himself, I'm really going to be curious to see how it unpacks. Obviously, as Omolemo mentioned, the specifics of the deal outside of Lebisa and Puma, I'm not sure if we're really all privy to it, but it would be really interesting to see what the contingencies are. I am guessing likely he would still somehow have to be active in sport. Now, in what role that is, that's going to be a whole different conversation. We'll wait to see. Chances are, as we mentioned, he might even be picked up by another team that heads towards Kigali and have him play.
Right.
So I'm really curious to see how that's going to impact, unpack, and of course, how that impacts his career as a professional athlete.
At this point, it's, you know, we're just speculating where he lands, but we know that he most likely will still play in the league, in the Basketball Africa League. He still has a couple of years in his career as a basketball player. Paul, just give us a little assessment for you of a view of the league and the interest that we're seeing from these big brands, from Nike, Puma, starting to get interested in young players on the continent and what that actually really means in terms of injecting resources on the continent.
I mean, we need more, you know, and I like that Puma and Nike are there, you know, but what African brands do we have?
Good point.
African brands do we have? You know, I always advocate for home first.
Yes.
You know, so let's also get the home brands in the mix, you know, and that way we're giving, you know, the African entrepreneurs, you know, small business owners.
More opportunities.
You know, more opportunities, you know, but it's good that Puma's coming in, but I think we should also now look within Africa too.
Absolutely. You know? Fourth season of the Basketball Africa League. The Nile Conference just concluded.
Two conferences down, man.
Mike, again, showing the evolution of the sports. But also, where does time go, brother?
Jeez.
We are already in season four. Kalahari Conference is coming up in a few weeks. You know, I thought it was going to be longer than that. But the way this year is going, also, we're already in May.
Before we know it, we're going to be blinking. We're going to be talking to people in Kigali, brother.
Absolutely. But talk to me about the evolution of basketball in the last 4 years, ever since Basketball Africa League was started on the continent. How do you see the level of play evolving?
I'll give you a classic example. I remember in season one, everybody being excited to watch J. Cole play basketball.
Yeah.
Now, J. Cole's not a professional. We'll call him a semi-professional basketball player. And Paul's laughing for a reason, right?
Because yeah. I remember that. I remember that. Right? I was like, J. Cole,
that was, that was the excitement behind it, is that everybody is excited to see this musician who had aspirations of being a professional ball player.
Yeah.
That was where the level of the league is. Now we have people like Billy Preston, people who have actual experience in the league, are being part of the thing, not just only
the league, the NBA,
but not just that, but we have NCAA players, we have, like, we have people who are literally, if you're not in the league, you're on the cusp of being in the league. I think that speaks more to the evolution of what they want from the Basketball Africa League. Now, the only big conversation moving forward, once again, as we've all highlighted, is it's baby steps, right? But the big question moving forward is, what does this mean for the African athlete? Because what we've seen is a lot of stars coming from different parts. At some point, Dwayne Wade's son was playing football. That was last season, right?
He played for the Cape Town Tigers.
Played for the Cape Town Tigers. And so we're seeing all these stars coming back to Africa and doing their thing. But the big question at hand is, what does this mean? Are we going to have a Joel Embiid coming out of Ball? Is a big question. At what point do we have Ball be a standalone entity that is now generating a lot more African talent? Will we get there? It looks like it. But how fast we get there
what
is a
will
whole
it
different
take?
Conversation. Yeah. And what will it take is a whole different conversation.
I mean, everything takes time.
Right.
Everything takes resources.
Right.
Like Paul said, I would love to see some private sector players in Africa be a part of this. Mm-hmm. It's so sad to see, for example, a team like the City Oilers, you know, struggle to find local endorsement deals from, you know, I think it was, it's not the City Oilers, it was the Uganda Cubs, the ones that play for the basket for the national team. They were struggling to find airfare to go play for one of the FIBA matches a couple of years, 2 years ago. And I think in one of their games, in one of their, you know, trips, they had to be bailed out by another government, a neighboring government. And they right now, most of the money comes from the government, but where are the other private sector players that come in and say, we want to take on this because there's a future here, there's a potential here, you know what I'm saying?
But I think that also speaks to the model that Ball's now creating, right? Of having, because you remember, first season, second season, Ball was in only a specific amount of countries. This is the first season where, for example, we inaugurated the conference that was played in Pretoria. I think the model that Ball's trying to create is involve more players beyond just the NBA. I think the NBA is now seeing this as, okay, we've done this, we're helping the baby walk. At some point, the baby needs to walk by itself. I think at some point, they want to see the Basketball Africa League be played in Uganda.
Right, absolutely.
Be played in Angola, played in different parts.
Absolutely. And for the baby to walk, I think it will be important to involve the fans.
Right.
You know, it's kind of disappointing to see
a stadium
empty. Even in Cairo today, the Hassan Mustafa Stadium, I think it was about 60% capacity. We should be seeing whatever they have to do, whether it's the logistics, just give us a crowd that is, you know, like cheering on the fans.
Whatever they did in South Africa, replicate
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. South Africa was a different energy. We hadn't seen that aside from Kigali when they played the playoffs. We hadn't seen Kalahari. So in terms of galvanizing, mobilizing, getting people to love the game, you know, giving them tickets. There are people that are out there that would love to be sitting.
Right. They don't have anything to
absolutely.
Do on a Saturday. They
want, absolutely. Get them involved. You know what I'm saying? Do local advertisement. Bring them in. When you bring in the local people, the local fan base, getting energized, then that's when you see the local companies come in.
Right. And once again, I think as Ball grows, one of the big questions is, how do we get more of the local people involved, right? At this point, yes, it's all these big companies that are doing their thing. Nike is sponsoring the jerseys. Jordan's doing the thing. But at some point, as Paul highlighted, you need the local investors part of it. You need the local person wanting to be a part of it. What I did like using South Africa as a case study is how they involved everybody. The celebrities that came out, all the big hip-hop acts were all performing at the halftime acts. Or everybody somehow found a way to draw their star power and bring the eyeballs to the sport, which is what I think Ball needs as a long-term strategy. I'm curious to see what it's going to look like in Senegal. And of course, as we wrap up, the the whole Bal campaign in Kigali. Will they have the same strategy is something that I'm looking forward to seeing.
And as we come to the end of the Nile Conference, we know that the City Oilers are on their way home after losing in a blowout game against Libya's El Ahly. They dropped 1-5. At this point, they have no chance of securing any of the two spots that would have helped them qualify to automatically to the next round. The reigning champions, El Ahly Egypt, took on the high-flying Bangui Sporting Club, who are trying to vie for their exceptional campaign. I'd say Bangui played much better basketball in the first three games than they did today. I don't know what happened. Maybe they were tired, given that they don't have that depth. But before we end, we want to bring in Omolemo's second part interview with Lebese Salebe.
Cape Town Tigers for us now is a waiting game because we didn't do so well in our conference. We're just waiting for the other conferences to end, and we're going to wait and see who the other number threes are in the other groups. And two of those number threes will make it into the playoffs, which will be happening in Kigali the last week of May. But, I mean, in terms of recruits, there is a lot of window for us. We allowed five import players. We only had three. So I would imagine that the front office are going to make some moves. I don't know if Billy Preston will be returning because he's currently playing in Bahrain, which is in Asia. So that would be interesting to see if he'll be returning from his season in Bahrain, or we'll be getting three new guys. Dikati Diara and Noor Manyang are still in the country. They're still training with us. So, I mean, I can imagine that they're not going anywhere. But in terms of pieces being moved around, we've got Storm Gilchrist, who picked up an injury. Whether he can return in time or not, one can only imagine what's going to happen with young Storm, because he also has a lot of basketball ahead of him. He's only 18 years old, so you don't want to play him through injuries this early in his career. I'm not privy to what is discussed by front office. I mean, we meet our teammates just like everybody else on Instagram and when they come to practice. So if I had an inside scoop, I probably would somehow hint, but currently we're just preparing with what we have.
As far as you see BAL, like, how do you see BAL, like, in the near future, maybe in the next 2 years?
Outside of the NBA, I think the BAL is the most viewed league in the world. And well done to the BAL for getting it there in season 4. Shout out to the NBA, shout out to NBA Africa, shout out to FIBA, because a combination and collaboration of this magnitude has not been done before. You know, people that came to Pretoria to watch the Kalahari Conference, it's the first time the BAL ever came to South Africa. And for 3-4 nights, it was sold out, you know, and that just shows the love for the game that we have in South Africa and on this continent. I mean, the energy, the production, it almost feels like an NBA game. People have watched basketball, said that they've never seen anything like the BAL, because it really is just that big. What I foresee more teams. I foresee teams getting licensed. I foresee an NBA-type model, maybe with a leeway for teams that are going to be coming through qualifiers to join the teams that are already licensed. I mean, the sky literally is the limit. There's 53 countries in Africa, you know, for only 12 teams to be represented. It's baby steps. Yes, I get it. But there's so much room to grow. You know, we can see a 53-team league one day, you know, which will be probably the biggest league in the world, you know, with companies like Air Rwanda jumping on, making it possible for the traveling arrangements to be done with ease for brand play. You know, I mean, the league is sponsored by Jordan and Nike. But, you know, when Puma starts jumping in and endorsing athletes, it's only a matter of time before other brands, which I don't want to mention, start coming into play. And it becomes a market where players are getting marqueed and endorsed left, right and center. And that's revenue for players. That's revenue for teams. That's revenue for brands. That's corporate Africa. I don't want to say corporate South Africa, because that's small thinking. You know, it's corporate Africa jumping in and starting to join your Visit Rwandas, join your Air Rwandas, you know, join all these new fortress companies that have been pumping money into the BAL. And, you know, the more the merrier, you know. And I think sky's the limit. It's just unfortunate that I'm 33 years old, so I won't be playing basketball that much longer. But, you know, for the future generations, they can really look forward to a BAL that's going to be exceptionally well run and big.
What a very candid moment there for Lebese Salebe, acknowledging that, you know, the league is growing, it's just starting out, and, you know, he sees himself, you know, he's still young at 33 years old, but by the, you know, when it hits by season 10, which is really when things are really starting to pop off, he probably won't be part of the league in that way, probably maybe a manager or coach. But Mike, so looking ahead, I guess, for the Sahara Conference, what are we looking at before we close this out?
So as we wrap up, just to highlight, of course, the outcomes of the different conferences. In the first conference in Pretoria, FUS Darabat and Petro de Luanda are the two teams that guaranteed spots in Rwanda and Kigali. And of course, in the Nile Conference that just wrapped up, Al Ahly Egypt, that is Al Ahly Sporting Club, and Al Ahly Libya are the two teams who have a guaranteed spot. Bangui is competing since they both have three losses and three wins, they're competing on a third base plot. Now, in Senegal, we're going to see different teams take on each other. We mentioned some of them earlier on. Among them is Monastir, that is Tunisia's Monastir. We're going to see Rivers Hoopers Basketball Club.
From Nigeria,
AS Douan, and of course, Rwanda. So those are the teams, Jacko. We're getting ready for them.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank all of you who tuned in today to our special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. Remember to check us out at voaafrica.com. We are all on social media platforms. We are on Instagram, on Facebook, on YouTube. Just search for VOA Africa. I was here with my guy, Mike Hovey.
Yes, sir.
Omolemo Kale.
Yes, thank you.
And Paul Ofuono. Appreciate you guys. And on the machines,
Patrick Deya.
He came in a little late, but thank you so much for everyone. And we'll catch you at the Karahari Conference.
You'll see us on the podcast.
Sorry, no, we'll catch you at the Sahara Conference.